Hi. The Common Man and T-Bone podcast is brought to you by Care Heating and Cooling. Cold or sweaty is no way to go through life. Call my guys at Care Heating and Cooling for all your heating and cooling needs. Call 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust. And stay tuned after the podcast for special bonus content from past shows.
Lizard cream is the easiest way to tell if your loved ones have turned into a shape-shifting lizard person.
Bye.
Welcome to the home of stupid. That's right. You're now listening to Common Man and T-Bone.
That's the freedom that we all enjoy here, right? You can be a douche, and I can say, that sucks.
That's free country.
Not free from judgment. If I were emperor, you would be in jail.
Well, that's not a free country. Even.
That's right. Breaking news, I'm not the emperor. Right. If I were, a lot of people would be in trouble.
Featuring Panama Ted, imported from Panama.
Thank you, Ted. You suck.
Leanna Ray on traffic.
5 minute delay.
And a bunch of internet sounds that make no sense.
To reach around the guy.
You gotta squat and be ready.
Balls on his chest.
Strap in and strap it on. This is Man and Bone.
Welcome in. Happy Football Friday to you. Timmy Hall is in for Common Man today. We got some stuff to talk about today, Timmy. I don't know if you heard. There's a little football game going on tomorrow, high noon, up in the state up north. Might have a little bit of juice to it. You ready to go, buddy?
I'm ready to go. Bone. I'm so used to saying Bone Man.
There's no Bone Man.
I could call you the Bone Man still, even though Common Man is not here.
It's Bone Hall or Hall Bone.
Hall Bone. The Hall of Bone.
That's right.
Time to go.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's good to be here with you, man. Yesterday was such a fun day. I hope yours gets to be as chill and relaxing as I've just forced my Thanksgivings to become relaxing.
Yeah. Go do the big family thing. You don't go traveling around.
No, there is. Like, there's family, but clearly we're not traveling. Like, that we get to use the work as the excuse to not, like, I've got a lot of family in Virginia, so.
You can't go there on a day, right?
Yeah, put a stop to that a long time ago. And for a while, you know, some of my Virginia fam, they would come out here. Then we kind of moved off to.
They would slam your drawers and break all your stuff, and your silverware would go flying. God. Yeah, you just hated that.
Well, we kind of, like, moved it from them coming out here for Thanksgiving to them coming out more for the Christmas holiday, where I might be able to catch a week off in between, you know, a Buckeye, you know, Big Ten championship and their potential bowl game or whatever. So it's also sort of like a mental trick where you just tell yourself, relax, it's okay, just get the dinner in, get that second plate later on in the evening, and just take a deep breath. You know you're coming to work tomorrow, but I do think this is one of the most casual Fridays that has ever existed.
This is, yeah.
Black Friday. If you're working, keep it super casual.
Yeah, this is a great day. It's a low-key great day to come to work because there's no one here, and what would I be doing today anyway? After I got the turkey in, I got a little bourbon last night. After, you know, everything kind of chilled
yesterday too.
A little bourbon to kind of soothe the mood and get everything back to calm. And then today I woke up at 5 a.m. Couldn't sleep because I'm thinking we're less than 48 hours away from the Michigan.
I know.
I can't help but be excited and I don't know if anxious is the right word because I'm not anxious like I used to be. But there's always that little thing in your stomach. Having watched this rivalry for damn near 40 years like I have now, where there was a big portion of it where it got rocky every year.
It's a weird thing, too, to have this Black Friday here, and then you have Thanksgiving, so your mind sort of shifts, because we get Thursday off, right? Like, that's the one thing, we get that off, so your mind sort of wanders to family, friends, holiday, getting the turkey done. And then it's right back to it today.
Right back
everybody in. Out. Some people could be out there doing their shopping things. But for guys like you and me and a lot of our listeners here, too, who we love, they're dialed into the game. It's just a weird mental state to be in. Like, what time? Like, we're already past it, I think. But it just comes up so fast.
Oh,
it's a noon kickoff. We're less than 24 hours. All of a sudden, the game is right in your face since we switched to this post-Thanksgiving Ohio State-Michigan rivalry matchup.
As someone who had many a Thanksgiving ruined by the previous Saturday's engagements, because used to be, obviously, many years ago, that game happened before, and then you had Thanksgiving, so then it was just like that week after, and the Buckeyes would lose, you just go, What is even turkey? Who cares? It's all pointless. Another season
the
down the tubes.
Not gone yeah. yet. So at least we get the holiday out of the way.
Yeah.
It's a weird week because of it, but I see your side there.
Yeah. So we've got lots to get to today. Saturday showcase coming up 3:34. A big college football weekend as always. It's rivalry weekend, not just for Ohio State. So all of that to be broken down. We also have our NFL picks coming up at 4:48, your chance to win fabulous prizes going up against Timmy Hall and I. And then Tool of the Week, 5:34. You can tweet us your tools now at manandbone971.
Panama Thanksgiving tools.
Ted is here. Yeah, you got Thanksgiving
tools.
Should
be quite tools. A few of them.
Yeah, you could have a lot of maybe
who
post
in your house
Thanksgiving.
Was the biggest tool? Oh. There is one.
There had maybe
multiple.
You. Maybe you.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone that's staying with you. That's what I know. So, all right, you know where we're going to start today. We're going to start off talking, obviously, the game. Timmy, I'm going to throw a number at you because I know for a lot of people, you see the last 20 years of this rivalry. You see how Ohio State has dominated this rivalry, although there have been close games within it. Doesn't matter who the coach has been for the most part. Doesn't matter on either side. Ohio State, once the Tressel era started, it was a level of dominance that we've never really seen in this rivalry, at least not on the Ohio State side ever since. But there's a number that keeps me up often, especially around this time of year that I think about. Let me read you that number. It is 58, 52, and 6.
I like it.
That is the number that still bugs the hell out of me as a Buckeye fan. That is the number that used to be way more lopsided. That is the number of wins for Michigan, 58, to wins for Ohio State, 52, and then ties is 6. Buckeyes are still behind in that category. So for longtime Ohio State fans, that number has always, and we know why. Because Michigan had about a 30-year head start where they were playing with no helmets or leather helmets, no face masks. I don't even know if the forward pass was allowed in some of these games, but they claimed them as if they're real college football games. So whatever, but I want that number as fake and as ridiculous as it is. I want it to still reflect that Ohio State is better. So my point is I will never sleep on this rivalry until that number is way, way
You're
far
right.
ahead the other way.
You're right, Bone. And the fact that you led with that, that's what it's about. I think that is exactly the difference from this side of the rivalry, from mm-hmm. this side of the fence. When you think about something like that, it's not just about having a two-decade string of dominance. It's the fact that it's that Walter White, I've got work left to do. There's more, there's more
bad, yes.
that has to go into this because as long as you're losing, you cannot sleep. And I like how you went with the 58, 52 and six and not the 58, 51 and six with the game that was vacated there in 2010.
I'm not counting. No, screw that. It's 52.
Screw that.
Still 52.
Seemed to read 37-7 to me from this chair here. It's incredible, right, to think about what the dominant stretch would be for Michigan without these last two decades. The fact that you had to have a run like this mm-hmm. and you still got six more to have to go. And there's that horrible thing in the back of your head that says, you know, a streak can't last forever, right? But then when you are a team, and it's your responsibility, especially when you didn't get this game played last year. So everybody on this 2021 Ohio State Buckeye football team, they take up that added burden of not being able to be that team that breaks the streak.
Absolutely. I mean, it's something that having missed it last year, I mean, last year was such a weird college football year with the Big Ten starting later than everybody or many of the schools. You had some conferences that also didn't play or played limited games. Having multiple games canceled last year made it a weird season. And then, of course, the thing that I have looked forward to ever since I was a child, whenever I found out about this rivalry every year, I mean, it's I was explaining to my kids, you know, we were talking about they wanted to go to COSI and they wanted to go, you know, check out some stuff at COSI. And they're like, why don't we go this weekend? And I said, listen. Saturday.
We can go at 4 p.m.
Saturday.
All right.
They're like, let's go tomorrow morning. And I'm like, listen, we're not going tomorrow morning because I don't know if you understand this. This, the Super Bowl, I mean, there's, I don't know, maybe one or two other sporting events on the calendar year that even are in the same ballpark, but it's Ohio State, Michigan. That is what my sports calendar revolves around, right? March Madness would probably be another one where it's like, I look forward to that Thursday and Friday of March Madness, the first full weekend. I look forward to that every year. But this tops even that, because the game always has set my year either on a good pathway or a bad pathway.
Yeah.
So, hey, look, it's the nerves, man. It's the excitement. It's here.
It's nerves. It's excitement. It's the confidence in your team that you can go up there and drill those guys again. But there's that little bit of fear factor in not knowing, well, maybe this is finally a year where Jim Harbaugh figures it out and pushes all the right buttons and has his players ready to go. Maybe this defense that they have this year is just that much better than some of those other defenses that came into the game, still with good numbers, nationally ranked, but maybe the two edge rushers that they have this time and, you know, pivotal players at the linebacker level and the back end is enough to make the plays to get it done. You just don't know. But it's everything that you want for this game. It's here for you. Ohio State dropped the one game early on and you had to be perfect the rest of the way. And that's a burden as well, to know that you've got to win every single one of your games if you want to be in this fight. And they did that, and the defense for Ohio State improved little by little from game to game. We got to this point, 10-1 versus 10-1. There's really no other discussions, or I mean, not to say we're going to do a 3-hour talk show.
There's plenty of discussion
to be had, but you don't have to worry about anything that has happened up to this point. You play the game on Saturday. This is what you get. It's a winner moves on, loser goes home.
Yeah, winner goes to the Big Ten championship game.
And Michigan has not been there yet, so there's that added thing too.
They know, yeah, unlike a lot of years, it's not been like, well, this is the only thing that makes Michigan's season is if they can win this game. Now it's, if they win this game, they end that streak, and they go to a thing they've not done under Jim Harbaugh.
And they probably make the playoff too, because I think we believe whoever wins this game is winning the Big Ten championship
game. It would stand to reason, but of course, it would be typical Michigan for them to somehow find a way to beat Ohio State and then crap themselves in the Big Ten championship
lose
game.
Lose by 20 to Wisconsin.
Not that I would want them to win it. I'm just pointing out that would be about right. So, yeah, the nerves are flowing. The excitement is here. We have lots to get to with this game, which we'll, of course, talk about. We'll get into all that throughout the day here. Plenty to discuss with this game. We'll be doing it all day. Also, we're going to talk about some things that we didn't get to yesterday because we were gone. Nobody was here on the station, but couple big games for Ohio State basketball and for the Blue Jackets that happened on Wednesday night. We'll recap those and discuss it more when we come back. It's Man and Bone, Timmy Hall filling in on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
On the east side, look out for a crash on the ramp from Broad Street to southbound 270. Elsewhere, things are looking pretty light at this time. Use caution as you make your way around the retail areas throughout the region, obviously for Black Friday. This region is sponsored by Meijer. It's Black Friday all week long at Meijer. Right now, you can buy one, get one for $1 on shoes, boots, or silk slippers for the whole family. Keep everyone's feet warm and cozy while you take advantage of this Black Friday deal and many more only at your neighborhood Meijer. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Simpletons, nincompoops, ignoramuses. Just a few of the many different words that you can use to describe the hosts of this show. Also, fat. This is Common Man and T-Bone.
DeBar in trouble, and he's dropped. Football's loose. Football loose around the Ohio State 35.
We got it.
Pile of bodies. No signal yet by the officials. Big pile.
Yeah!
Ohio State's ball.
Yeah!
Buckeyes force DeBar to fumble the football. Will Smith comes up with a football. The first and only turnover of the game so far. And Will Smith comes up with it.
Ballkeel's Jim Lachey. Calling it like they saw it.
Yeah!
2002, Ohio State, Michigan. 14-9, you know how that one went. Ended with a bunch of Buckeyes getting carried off the field and headed to the desert for the
Fiesta
national
time.
Championship game.
That's
yes,
right.
Indeed. That was quite a moment there in the shoe, for sure. We'll have plenty more of those all day today. Of course, you know it. The rivalry is here. We're talking about it all day. Also, a thing we got to bring up, the fan joining 10TV and the Ohio Education Association honor classroom heroes in these weird times. Teachers and educators need our support and recognition more than ever. We're proud to announce our final hero for the year, Lori Smith. Woo. A teleteacher for VocaVision who spent many years in special education at Columbus City Schools. We're looking forward to honoring more classroom heroes in the spring on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Lori. So, well done, Lori.
Yes, indeed.
Keep it up.
Yeah. So that particular victory for the Buckeyes, that 0-2 game, that was where it signaled times are changing.
That's the one, really. I mean, you go and rip off a national championship in a memorable game, which, by the way, when I was editing Buckeye Replay for the summertime,
yeah,
it's something that we've been doing, if you guys have paid attention, for the last 2 or 3 years now, to pass the time in those dog days of summer. We've timed them up where we give you like 8 in a row leading right up to the first kickoff, so the final 2 months. And I don't think we did. We did the 2002 Ohio State-Michigan game, but we also played the national championship game. And as far as calls go, when Jim gets to sort of blend in with Paul Keels, that's one of the great ones. The clip that you just heard and the tail end of that Ohio State-Miami game that has some unbelievable Jim Lachey blending in with Paul Keels.
I'll tell you something, man. Jim is a large human. Paul Keels, you know, not a short guy, not a tiny person.
No, not a small guy.
That booth, when the two of them are fired up and fist pumping and chest bumping and God knows what else they're bumping, like, those guys, when they get going, you couldn't be like a normal size human in there. You get crushed.
Imagine,
get knocked out of there.
Imagine Skip Mossick. Like,
yeah, Skip's just like a regular size dude.
Tangled up in the headphone cords in between those guys.
Yeah, that's quite the booth we've got there. Can't wait to hear their call tomorrow right here on The Fan. Of course, coverage starts bright and early, 6 a.m. We'll be here talking Buckeyes. Can't wait for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Is it 6 or 6:30? Sorry, I said 6. I think it's probably 6:30.
That's 6:30 a.m.
Yeah, there you go. That would make more sense.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Buckeye basketball, men's team losing to Florida. That was a little bit of a tough one there. The Fort Myers tip-off classic, I think is what that was, the finals of. Anyway.
Beach Division. Wanted that Beach Division trophy, Bone.
You did.
I did.
Beach Division.
I wanted that trophy.
Wanted it so bad.
Well, it's bigger than the MLS Cup.
It is. It's a big, nice trophy. There you go. 71-68, Florida beat Ohio State on a last-second three-pointer from
Tyree Appleby.
Yeah. I don't want to sing the song.
Feeling good in the
neighborhood. No, I don't want to sing any Applebee's-related songs. There's too much of that going on.
Right, right.
So that was a frustrating loss. That was a tough way to lose that game. You hit a big game winner at the game before, right, to beat St. John's, then you lose this one to Florida.
St. John's or Seton Hall.
Who did I say St. John's? Jeez.
Bone.
Seton Hall.
Big Johnny's guy over here.
Yeah, that's right.
Loves him some Chris Mullen.
Yeah, that's right. I was just going to make Chris Mullen reference.
There you go. There you go. Beat you.
Yeah. So in either case, here's what I take away from Buckeye basketball. A, Florida played some really hard-nosed defense.
They did.
To the point that the officials were letting them do a lot on defense. Didn't feel like the Buckeyes were getting the same breadth and width of leeway that the officials were giving to Florida. But that all said, you cannot turn the ball over approximately 94 times and allow Florida to get 72 offensive rebounds. Those are numbers based on feel,
yeah,
not actual numbers,
well,
that's about what it felt like.
They did actually destroy us on the offensive glass. It might have been 16-7 or something.
It was bad.
But anyway, there's that big of a discrepancy with the offensive glass. You forgot free throws too, because that's the difference in the game. When you're not going to get there that much, I mean, it's not like getting to the line 20 times is something horrible, right? That's not, and again, I was heavy on the officiating in that game. I spent an early portion of the postgame show yelling about that because I did think that it was beyond unfair, but you're going to get that. You're going to get it a lot throughout a college basketball season, and you have to be able to deal with some game pressure and some officiating. The fact that Kyle Young could have fouled out of that game in 14 minutes, the way his skill set is right now, and what he's now, He's a brilliant defender. He really is. Yeah. He's a fantastic defender, and his offensive game has gotten to a point now where I believe he is the number two. Like, people are asking for where's that second guy. That guy's Kyle Young. Like, I don't know if I'd call him a three-level scorer right now because he doesn't just have, like, a pull-up mid-range game, but he's proven he can hit the open three, and his footwork now in the post, like, you can give him the basketball, and he's one-on-one. He's likely going to score. And for him to be gone, and I watched three of his fouls, two of them were flops on Florida that they called on him. They weren't calling flops on, or they were giving the Buckeyes flop warnings. I remember they hit Arns with one.
Yeah.
But again, I'm railing on it now, again, and I don't want to. Officiating sucked. That's going to happen. You cannot turn the ball over. You are correct. Full court pressure. You have to be ready for it. You have to make smart, heady plays. You also can't get a 10-point lead at that spot in the second half. And I'm going to say it's okay for a team as good as Florida to have a comeback on you. You cannot give it up that fast. They let the 10-point lead dwindle down to two in a matter of 90 seconds. It was Matt Andrews. I have to listen to Matt Andrews or else he'll murder me. Like, I'm not allowed to listen to the TV sound anymore when Matt Andrews is involved.
That's
so
right.
I synced him up. He says, oh, look at this, Ron. The Buckeyes, only one turnover in the second half so far. Boom, 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 boom. Four straight turnovers. And the lead is gone. So you got to be more disciplined. So you got to be better than
as
that.
As we know, blame Matt Andrews when that happens. You point that out, and then it instantly happens. It's the announcer's curse. That's the only way to look at that. Yeah, it's frustrating, too, because EJ is still great, man. I mean, he had 20-plus points. Only guy in double digits other than Kyle Young. Kyle Young, of course, fouls out.
He was gone. Nine-minute mark.
And
Coach Holtman took his second straight technical at the event.
Yeah, because I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either.
How do you
deal with that?
Yeah, that was such a weird event, too, because you had in the first game against Seton Hall. I don't know if you know that. They played Seton Hall, not St. John's.
Yep.
Anyway, they play, in that game, you had the lights go out, right? And then both of the games, the rims felt like they were, I don't know. They
so
even referenced
soft.
It on the broadcast, super soft rims here. And I thought that was very interesting. I wonder how the shooting percentages will look for this Buckeye team when they're not playing on that.
Like let's go play in some outdoor courts with double-walled rims.
Right. Boom. Well, you know what, though? If you're playing on, in an NBA arena, that's the way those rims typically tend to play, is they're pretty rigid. I mean, they're, so we'll see. When it comes tournament time, you don't get the soft rims usually at the NCAA tournament.
No.
Big Ten tourney, you don't see that. They're all tightened up and ready to go.
It's those special stanchions. Who knows what they have, where they get those from. I mean, it is a college basketball arena, what they were playing. And I thought it was cool, too. We had some hardcore listeners of The Fan. There's a guy that's always tweeting me, Gennaro. He was down there with his son. He was tweeting me, I'm going to be down there for business. Should I go to this game? I'm like, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course you should go.
It's
a cool little 4,000 or 5,000 seat gym. I love checking out new arenas, new venues. You're at the beach. The Buckeyes are there. Why would you not go? So that was a great environment, though, to play in.
And then you recommended he go, and he gets his heart ripped out with the last second shot. So,
but it was at least it was the officials and not the Buckeyes.
True enough. Right. I agree. Also, Jackets got it done on Wednesday night. So they dialed up a 3-0 win over
Winnipeg.
Big game
tonight, too.
Tonight, of course. Vancouver coming in, I think, on a 4-game skid. All the coverage starts 6:30 right here on The Fan. You've got a little half-hour Buckeye show prior to that, so Timmy pulling double duty today. But, nice to see Max Domi getting mixed up a little bit, too. Getting in there and causing some problems by flipping the puck to their goaltender after a penalty was called. I like it, man. I like that he's kind of agitating a bit. That's what you want out of him.
What's the basketball equivalent to that? Punting the ball into the stands?
It's probably after, it's already, the foul's been called, and you just pick the ball up off the floor, walk over, and dunk it on someone while it's, a dead ball.
That wasn't the right analogy, because that would get you teed up, and it's not like he got any extra on this. It was
after the fight, then it got a little extra, but
right.
That's good, though. Jackets looking good again, and love to see that. Elvis was good, as always, so hopefully that'll happen again tonight. We will see how that all looks for the Buckeyes coming up next. Saturday Showcase, we'll get into it with Timmy Hall, talk about all the different things we've got coming up on Rivalry Weekend here, so do that next. It's Man and Bone, Timmy Hall filling in on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
On the east side, an earlier crash has cleared. It was on the ramp from Broad Street to southbound 270, but you can feel free to head through there as all vehicles have been removed from the scene. You do have heavy traffic in the area of Polaris Parkway between 71 and Gemini Parkway. You also have heavy traffic in the area of Easton Town Center, so if you're going to be heading through there or towards there, just expect traffic to be at a crawl. This report is sponsored by Rumpke Waste and Recycling. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Man is angry. Bone is fat. They are both also those other things. This is Man and Bone.
Troy Smith with the ball behind his 25 to throw. Looking left side, looking, still rolling. Now Smith will fire it long down the middle of the field for Gonzalez. Got it at Michigan's 20. 10, 5, touchdown, Anthony Gonzalez. As he got by Ernest Shazor. 68 yards.
There you go, Paul Keels. That is the 2004 Ohio State victory over Michigan in the Shoe. That was a Wolverines team that thought, hey, maybe we can go out and win a Big Ten title.
Yeah, that was it for them, right? I love these trips in the time machine here today.
Oh, yeah.
This is great. We're going to do more of these.
Of course we are, man. We're talking Buckeyes and the team up north all day long here. It is, of course, a Football Friday sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota right here on The Fan. But tons to get into in this game. We will continue to do so all afternoon.
Real quick, before we do the showcase, that year is interesting because, you know, I worked with Bobby the first couple years here that I was here doing the Buckeye show. And we always kind of joked around. He had sort of like the whole experience as a Buckeye football player. You know, yeah. You cannot even fathom what three straight losses would be like in this day and age, going from the urban era to what we've got now. And Ryan Day, guys, by the way, still hasn't lost a Big Ten game. So there's just another little thought bubble for you as we go to Ann Arbor tomorrow. Right. Hasn't lost a Big Ten game. Imagine losing three straight games. October 2nd, October 9th, October 16th, at Northwestern. Yuck. Wisconsin, at Iowa. That happened in 2004. You are a four-loss team going into the game. And that was when I think you just played 11 in that regular season.
Yeah.
Not 12.
Yeah, this was
6-4.
It was a rough year, man, but that was the year where you figured out who Troy Smith was, you figured out a little bit who Anthony Gonzalez was. And the next year when they went up to Michigan, those two connected in a much more close game that ended up also being pivotal, right? That big catch Gonzo made going up over the top, making up it, we thought they were losing. Makes that catch. They get in. Antonio Pittman later bangs it home, gets the go-ahead touchdown right at the end of the game, and back to, oh, wait a second. Ohio State can beat Michigan every year.
Even when we're not too good.
Yeah, and it was, a sign of things to come for sure. So, yeah, we'll be playing that all day long here on The Fan. Right now, let's do some Saturday Showcase.
Common Man and T-Bone present Saturday Showcase.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
All right, so you know, of course, what's going on at noon, all the coverage right here on The Fan. That is the showcase for us, but after that is over, there's plenty more in college football. We'll start it off with Bama and Auburn. They call it the Iron Bowl, 3:30 on CBS. Bama favored by 20.5 points in this one. Auburn not nearly the team that they hope to be, and doesn't look like it's going to cause Bama too much of a problem, but it's a rivalry game. You never know.
That's true, Bone. I'll have some juicy nuggets here prepared. You just tee me up for these games. So you mentioned the Iron Bowl. There's a lot of steam that's been taken away from this one. It's the 86th edition. Bama leads it 47-37-1. Auburn's coming off a road loss to the Gamecocks and has lost three in a row under first-year coach Brian Harsin. Another nugget, the home team has won the last five Iron Bowls. And in that span, Alabama has only lost five games total.
Yeah.
And so two of those losses have been to the Tigers here. This is really the Bryce Young, Jameson Williams, and John Mechie show. Williams sitting on 1,218 yards, receiving 13 touchdowns on just 59 catches.
Imagine, though, if somehow, it's not likely to happen, if Auburn were to pull the upset, though, gosh, would that be
all throw everything into chaos yet again, and Bama fans will be losing their minds. Love to see it. Don't think it's going to happen, though. 3:30 CBS if you want to check it
it's
out.
It's going to be closer than you think.
I think so?
Okay.
All right.
Just keep it close. Just look at what Bama has been, and it's gotten to the point where Nick Saban is screaming at their fans at his live on-location coaches show about close wins.
It feels like that...
Talk about a soapbox.
Close win yesterday, or last week against Arkansas, and then feels like maybe they come out and just dominate Auburn. But I could be...
I don't know.
We'll find out. Oregon State at number 11, Oregon. That's also a 3:30 game. Oregon only favored by 7.5, and saw that Jonathan Smith, Oregon State's head coach, what a dumb name that is for a
person.
I don't know. That's a, what a stupid name. Anyway, he got a new contract, so let him live. Oregon State, though, going bowling this year, doing pretty well.
They're sitting on 7.
They're surprisingly good. Surprisingly not awful. That's the way I guess we should phrase it.
What this game used to be called, you remember what the catchy name for this one was?
No.
It was the Civil War.
Oh.
And they called it this from 1929 up until this past year.
Yeah.
So they just now decided they can't do it. They're going back to the Oregon Classic.
Okay.
And a couple things. You mentioned the Beavers. They're okay at 7-4. Got the new contract for you. Huskies, by the way, so the championship implications for this one, I want to give you that. Oregon, they are pretty much out of the college football playoff. They got hammered by Utah. They win this game and they're in the Pac-12 title. If the Beavers pull the upset, they can actually win the North and go to the championship game if Washington State loses the Apple Cup tonight. And that one is at Washington. The Huskies are actually favored by 1 despite being 4-7. And Wazoo is 6-5. So Oregon State also perfect 6-0 at home. Only one road win. So we'll see how this one goes.
Yeah. Another rivalry game here. Number 14, Wisconsin at Minnesota. 4 p.m. on Fox. Whiskey favored by 7 in the battle of fan bases who talk like this, don't you know?
Oh,
jeepers, going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? Who wins in the battle of people who sound like they're from Fargo?
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to get that Paul Bunyan's axe. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, the blue ox.
Oh, sharpener up there.
Yeah.
Get the skate sharpener and sharpen her up, you know?
It's maybe the greatest rivalry trophy that's out there. It's also
it's an axe.
It's an axe, man. It's great. It's the most played rivalry in the highest level of college football with 130 meetings going into 131. The axe actually had been given out since 1948. Before that, they had a slab of bacon. That also sounds amazing.
Perfect.
Something tells me it might have been real bacon. Like they might have put a real slab of bacon.
Might have been a real pig.
On like a stone.
Might have been the pig was carrying the bacon with it.
The Badgers actually refused to turn it back over to the Gophers in 1943, so a new trophy came about 5 years later. Pretty close contest historically, much like ours. Badgers owning a 62-68 lead. And same kind of dominance lately for Wisconsin. The Gophers have won just once and so forth. I don't like Tanner Morgan, man. Wisconsin's rush defense is phenomenal. They're only giving up 2 yards per carry. Tanner Morgan, being a four-year guy, just has not done enough. 9 touchdown passes, 7 picks this year.
No, Minnesota quarterback not getting it done. I think Wisconsin wins this game, too. And that would mean then they're assured the Big Ten West, and then obviously they would meet whoever wins Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah, so the Badgers win, they're in. If they lose, they've got to hope that Iowa and Purdue lose. And Iowa is looking like they're going
to
lose.
Iowa's losing right now to Nebraska.
Nebraska's up 21-9. Minnesota can get there with a win and a Purdue win. That's how that happens.
And last one real quick. Oklahoma taking on Oklahoma State.
Bedlam, baby.
Bedlam, of course. Number 7 Oklahoma State, by the way. 7:30 on ABC. OK State favored by 4.5 points at home.
Yeah.
Mike Gundy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just keeps hanging around and secretly putting together halfway decent runs with this team.
He's a nut job, but he's done fine there.
He's a nut job, absolutely right. He's a man, he's 40, or like 53 now, I think. It's been a while since he did that rant.
Might be 53, but this if Oklahoma wins, it's going to be a rematch for the Big 12 championship.
Gotcha, okay.
If Oklahoma State wins, OU would be hoping that Baylor loses, which isn't likely,
but if Baylor,
at home to Texas Tech.
Right. So Baylor wins, Oklahoma State wins. Then
you get those two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is 10 years. 10 years from when the Cowboys just missed out on the BCS National Championship game after destroyed Oklahoma. They played a week later than Bama did. That was the year Bama lost to LSU, still got in. Bama LSU rematch in the championship game.
Yeah, that was a good year for college football. Way to go, everybody. Glad we did that.
well done,
not
everyone.
Exactly. That's why we have a playoff, though. That's good. All right, there's another rivalry happening this week, and it actually starts in just a few minutes. We'll talk about that next. It's Man and Bo and Timmy Hall filling in on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
Currently, the area freeways are looking pretty good with traffic flowing pretty nicely there, but we are seeing traffic at a crawl around the Easton Town Center and Polaris, so go ahead and expect to be moving at a crawl if you're going to be heading through there anytime soon. This report is sponsored by Rumpke Waste and Recycling. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Murdering brain cells one show at a time. Back to Man and Bone.
Hands it to Wells, who goes spinning up the middle, gets past the 50 to the 45 to the 40. 30-yard line, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Chris Wells. Chris Wells right down the middle of the field.
What a great run that
was. Pre-Beanie.
52 yards for Chris Beanie Wells.
I love it.
That was the game of the century, 2006, Ohio State 1 versus 2 versus Michigan. We know how that one went. Buckeyes, of course,
42-39.
Big time score in that one. I have more thoughts on that, but first, Timmy, tell them about what you've got.
Yeah, there. By the way, guys, you can send us or submit your Rivalry Week photo or video to the Fan. You just got to use the hashtag Ohio's Biggest Sports Team on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Ohio State Duke game. God, can you believe that's coming up as
I know,
well?
Right? That's
Tuesday,
coming up Tuesday.
The 30th. Visit 971thefan.com for more info. What a stretch we're in.
Yeah, we are in a great stretch here. Now, that Beanie Wells touchdown run, like, as you heard, Paul Keels, he was still Chris Wells at that point. You know, he's at that time a young guy. And remember his freshman year had a little trouble hanging on to the football. Highly touted recruit. Everyone knew he was a big deal coming in. That was the moment. He had that spin move at midfield and just took
it. Was right at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gone. And I had a group of people over to watch that game. And a buddy of mine, this is before I had kids, but a buddy of mine had his daughter, who I want to say was probably 7 or 8 years old at the time. She was dressed up like an OSU cheerleader. So we all ran out of the house when that happened. This is no joke. Our neighbors across the street at this old house where we used to live, they had Michigan flags out. They always had Michigan clothes on, jerseys.
Oh, that's too bad.
Always saw them rocking the Michigan gear no matter what. I don't know if they were from there. We didn't get to know them that well. But when that happened, we ran across the street with the little 7-year-old OSU cheerleader that we had. And we ran over and like rang their doorbell and we're like, that's right, go Bucks. And then turned out they weren't home. But these are the. This is what you get from me when Ohio State does something. That was early in that game. I thought, okay, they're going to roll after this, and no, it was
right.
A
then it turned
very
out to
up
be
and
nip
down
and tuck all day long, and you probably had some spots where you wish you could take that back.
Yeah.
Not even home. Great.
No. It was so that was good because they weren't home, but that was fine. But yeah, that one was a nerve-wracking affair to say the least. But it's what we love about this rivalry. It always brings out the best. Usually in both teams, so be fun. Can't wait tomorrow. Of course, coverage starts right around the Fan. 6:30 game, of course, is at high noon. There's another big matchup, though, starting in about 5 minutes. Big rivalry that a lot of people have wanted to see. This is from the world of golf, Timmy. I know you and Ted, big fans of this. Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau are doing the match, the duel.
Yeah, it's the big match five. I believe we're on match V right here today.
So this is they're playing in Las Vegas, and, you know, these two did team up on the Ryder Cup, but prior to that had quite a beef going between these two over the last 18 months or so on the PGA Tour. And now we actually get to see them paired up and playing against each other, not for any type of tournament, just for this match play thing. But how excited are you for this thing, Timmy?
I'm excited that they do this for us. I think it was a long time coming, and I'm actually glad that Turner, because this is a TNT property here, that they've done all of these, to my knowledge, and they mic them up. That's where you win here. It's having these guys wired up for sound so you can hear the chatter and everything that's going on. And the PGA Tour and the USGA have just always decided to never feed the beast and never take one of the few things that was making golf interesting to the outsiders. Not to say you're an outsider, right? But if you're not a diehard golfer,
you know, some of us here at
the station are, you know, me and Anthony and Beamer, we love the game and play it a lot, and Panama Ted loves to watch it. They never gave us this. They knew that this was a thing. It could be, and what could happen, you know? What was the downside of pairing these guys together for any regular tournament on a Thursday or Friday? What, are they going to drop gloves and start fighting? No, but there's going to be some tense comments.
That would be a negative, by the way.
No,
if they
nor
did that,
would it
let it happen.
Let it happen, yeah. Let it look like Happy Gilmore and Bob Barker rolling down a grass hill.
Yes.
And then Brooks grabs himself as he walks away.
That would have been epic.
Yeah. See that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come on. So I'm glad they're doing this. It's a quicker affair too for people that like that sort of thing. 12 holes, not 18
holes.
Yeah,
but then you get it. It's distilled. You're going to get the best of what they've got to offer. So that's good. That's coming up at 4 on TNT, but at the very least, like, set the diver and then go check it out.
I'll be doing that.
Yeah, you're going to be watching it tonight and enjoying that. It's a lot of fun. I'm not a huge golf guy, but that interests me because I like it when we know that people don't like each other. I like matchups where there's a little bit of personal. The Pistons and the Lakers are going to play again in a couple. I think, like, next week, I think, is when they play again. Don't you think after that whole elbow situation?
More people check that out.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that
LeBron
random
and Stewart
NBA
are out
game.
There. Yeah. You want to know what that's like.
Just because you know there's a prior history, so you want to see what's going on. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and that's good for golf, too.
And the course will be cool, too. It's in Vegas, and it's right by the Strip.
Oh,
the
nice.
The Wynn
so
Golf Course. So you get some scenery, right? They're good.
Yeah.
They're doing this at golf courses that are interesting, and you're not used to seeing them on the PGA Tour, or they're not courses where major championships have been before.
Yeah, I love it. The Wolverine's going to be breaking out a secret weapon tomorrow in the Big House to try to stop the Buckeyes. I'll tell you about that next. It's Man and Bone, Timmy Hall, filling in on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
On the north side, look out for a crash southbound 71 as you approach 270. It's causing a slowdown from Polaris Parkway. You also have a crash on US 62 at Fanshawe Road. This report is sponsored by Shoot Point Blank. Shoot Point Blank has exclusive holiday deals like boxes of ammo to buy two, get one free, and up to $100 off firearms. But you need to visit shootpointblank.com/holiday before December 31st to take advantage. That's shootpointblank.com/holiday. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. Can I tell you a secret? One of my joys in life is a good clean out. Once in a blue moon, I will take it to the next level. I have an air vent right over the toilet. So when I know a wild ride is coming, I'll turn down the AC a few minutes before it's go time. And then when I sit down, beautiful cold air greets me, blowing in my face as I do the deed. And the only people I trust to keep my crapper temp in tip-top shape, that's Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Picture a sports talk show, but without all those pesky sports getting in the way. Back to Man and Bone.
In the shotgun, Devin Gardner with the ball. Gardner back to throw, looks, fires, and that ball is intercepted. It gets picked off. Tyvis Powell comes up with it to pick it off as Powell stepped in front of the intended receiver, Drew Dilio.
That's it.
And Powell, who recovered a fumble, picks off the two-point try, much like Brian Roll did against Navy. And Ohio State's lead is 1 point, 42-41.
That was the...
I love that clip.
What a hairy game that was. 42-41, Ohio State beats Michigan in the Big House. That was 2013, and it was, man, just right down to it. That game, the way that one went, Timmy, Buckeyes got up 35-21, end of the third quarter. I kind of thought, all right, They're going to put their foot down now. They're going to say, all right, this has been fun, meat chicken, but now it's time to roll. And instead, Michigan put up 20 points in the fourth quarter.
Sleeveless Brady Hoke? Back when he was doing that?
Was that sleeve? He might have been doing the sleeveless, I think. Not cutoffs, yeah, but just no long sleeves. Yeah, he's just wearing the short sleeve shirt.
Yes. Yeah. Short sleeve shirt.
He wasn't wearing any long sleeves.
There's a name for that.
And no one ain't wearing any long sleeves. That's right.
Right.
You threw me for a second, but no, that's it. That was a big time victory up in the Big House, of course. Hopefully the Buckeyes can get another one of those tomorrow right here on the Fan. Coverage starts at 6:30.
So I played that clip. That one was easier for me to find in our system today because I had that one ready for Tyvus on Wednesday. He was on the Buckeye show on Wednesday night. So if you guys missed that, and in the 7 o'clock hour, also, he did a really nice breakdown on what he saw on that play. You guys should check it out. Not just the pod there, if you want to re-listen to that segment on the Buckeye show, but look at the video of that play and what a job that was. Everything comes into play there. Film study, knowing your opponent, knowing tendencies. The Ohio State coaching staff knew what Michigan was going to run on that 2-point conversion.
Wow.
So Tyvus's coaches, I forget which assistant was in his ear telling him what to look out for, and he saw it. They had the stacked look. It was like Michigan had the stacked receiver look, like 1-2-3, like all in a line there. Mm-hmm. And he knew exactly what his receiver was going to do. And he bodied out. He turned and pivoted 1 yard into the end zone and had the leverage on Duran Grant, I believe. So if Tyvus doesn't step up and snuff that out, they catch the ball and they win the game.
Yeah.
Like if the clean line was there and he had to pick it off, he let his receiver go to the back of the end zone, knew they were going to throw it short, stepped up and made the interception. It was a great play.
What a play. What a read. Always love hearing those breakdowns. Check out the Buckeye show. You can find it, of course, wherever you get podcasts. You can, if you miss an episode, go check that one out from Wednesday night. That would definitely be a good one to hear. Let's talk a little bit more about what's happening at Ohio State, Michigan tomorrow, because like I said, there's a secret weapon being deployed, and you might be thinking, oh no, is Michigan,
what do they have,
going to bring back the great former president Mary Sue Coleman so she can drunkenly yell at everybody?
The great coaches that we have at Michigan.
I don't know if she'll be in attendance. That is not the secret weapon, though. The secret weapon is Juwan Howard, current Michigan basketball coach, who will be, as he called it, the 12th man on the sidelines for Michigan. So he said he's going to be on the sidelines, going to be, you know, taking it all in, adding some perspective, I guess, with the guys. He said he knows all the players by name, knows the entire roster. He's excited about what they can do. He had a quote that I thought was funny because he said, I love this game plan. I haven't seen it, but I trust it. Great. That's good.
Harbaugh and his beautiful staff.
Yes,
he called it. Who is he, Dick Vitale?
Oh, Harbaugh, the beautiful babies. You gotta love it. So, secret weapon or not, that's very cool. I'm sure for Michigan fans, that's awesome. I hate the Fab Five. I always have. I always will. Jimmy Jackson, my guy. That era of Buckeye basketball, screwed over by the fact the Fab Five existed.
Jim Jackson, not Ray Jackson, right? Wasn't he one of the Michigan Fab Fives at Jackson? Yeah. Is it Ray Jackson?
That could be right. Yeah. Jimmy Jackson, of course.
Jimmy Key, Ray Jackson, Jalen Rose, Chris Webber, Juwan Howard.
Yeah, that's right.
If I cheating, remember correctly.
All cheating. That's what I know.
Cheaters.
All cheaters.
Just painful cheaters.
So let's talk a little bit about the game tomorrow from a little, you know, what we expect to see on the field. As we know, you know, this Buckeye offense has been great. I was trying to go back and see statistically just how good Ohio State is right now and where CJ Stroud's numbers are, because it sometimes gets lost on me looking up the numbers for this offense because, you know, we have three or four measuring stick games every year. The numbers sometimes don't really tell the whole story, but CJ's numbers, for what it's worth, 3,468 yards, 36 touchdowns, 5 picks, 71% completion percentage. All those numbers are fantastic. And by the way, if he was allowed to play like the third quarter of half these games that he hasn't, he'd be well over 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, right? I mean, this is a monster season he's putting together. But last 2 weeks, He has thrown 11 touchdowns to just 10 incompletions.
forget about interceptions.
This is
we're right, throw not interceptions. Incompletions in the second line at you.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous number that he's got going there. So here's my question to you, Tim. This Michigan defense is much better than they feel like they've had in a while. Their front seven are really good. We've got Aiden Hutchinson, who can get after the quarterback. Quite a few guys on the defensive line. Yeah, Ojabo's. I think they've combined for 20 quarterback sacks between those two.
Yeah, that's 10 for Ojabo and 10 for Hutchinson. I think they both might be up at the top of the Big Ten in TFLs as well. And
so,
yeah,
that's a thing that I could see being a concern, right? And maybe if they're able to get after C.J. Stroud, how he handles that pressure is going to be key. But one thing that's also kind of getting lost in the discussion about Michigan's great defense they have, they're not that great when it comes to stopping the run. Teams have been able to run the football on them pretty efficiently. And we saw that when they lost to Michigan State.
Yeah,
right?
Kenneth Walker. A lot of that was done by Kenneth Walker.
Right. Who is a great back.
But, and they stayed, Michigan State in that game, not to go off track, they stayed dedicated to the run
in that game,
and they didn't against Ohio State.
Yeah, Michigan State did. You're right.
Well, and that's weird.
Because Ohio State jumped out so early, there wasn't much they could do.
They got behind on Michigan, too. I think they were down 2 scores.
Oh, you're right. And you're they right. stayed they stuck with it. That's true.
They were down big in that game.
You're right. That's right.
You had to with a player that good, right?
But yeah.
I'm with you. It's the kind of thing. And look, we know what we got with Travion Henderson. This guy is going to go down as one of the best running backs, if not the best, to ever do it here at Ohio State. The lead that he's got, like, out of the gates with still many seminal moment type game situations left just in this season, not to think about what he'll have for the next 2 years, but it's got to continue to be a factor. We want to continue to talk about Ohio State's passing attack and the three amigos, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
Chris,
pretty good name.
Garrett and Jackson Smith and Jigba. They're great, but you are still going to have to run the football in some key moments in a football game, and I don't want to forget about that.
That's the thing. I think I'm going to make a bold prediction here. I'm excited about this game. I fully realize that, but I'm going to tell you what. I think Travion Henderson goes out and puts up a 200-yard game.
So he's going JK.
I think he's going to have a coming out party. Look at how Ryan Day has utilized him all year. 9 carries, 10 carries, 12 carries, 11 carries. Like, there's not a ton of 20-yard carries when you look at Travion Henderson's workload this year. Not because he's not good enough to. They haven't needed him to. Why would you have him carrying the ball 20 times when you know you need him down the stretch? I believe this game, they are going to be able to run the football with him. And I'm not saying that as if Ohio State's offense is going to be sluggish and slow. I am saying I think Travion Henderson's going to get loose for a couple. I think he's going to, in the third and fourth quarter, bury this Michigan team. And I think he's going to have at least break one for at least 50 yards that goes for a touchdown. I'm telling you, I think he's going to have a monster day tomorrow. So I am going to say that the Ohio State offense, while yes, the Michigan defensive game plan will be to stop C.J. Stroud, pressure him and all that. If Travion Henderson gets going, I do not think they can stop him in a four-quarter game. I think he will get, if they go the route, if Ryan Day and the play calling there, they decide we're going 25 carries or some 20 to 25, we're going to get him touches all game long, early and often. I think he wears down Michigan's defense and then the floodgates open.
I want to build on what I just said too about Ohio State running the football and you getting late into the season, and it's championship games. Like this is a championship game. This is your rivalry game. So this counts. This is one of them. And then every single game after that, it's going to be a championship type of thing.
Right.
You know, even when it's the national semifinal, you know, the drill, it's a major bowl game. You go on. You are who you are to an extent. And I remember it was Chris Lauterbach for 11 Warriors. He did a nice, it was at like the three-quarter mile marker of the regular season. Just for fans that are into that, like, and you notice what the play calling tendencies are and who you are in the first couple years under Ryan Day, even though there's this perceived change, and it is there, like the way the aerial attack has evolved in college football. Ohio State has, of course, gotten on that bandwagon. They're starting to produce these types of quarterbacks that can sling it around. But up until this year, they had still been a run-first team. They still had been.
Yeah.
Until this year, where they really are a pass-first team. And I think this just comes from what their offensive line is good at doing. I think they're just a little bit more comfortable, a little bit better. They're all tackles, right? They're all tackles there, minus the center. They get back in pass protection, and they keep C.J. Stroud pretty clean and looking nice, and he's very comfortable with the right shoulder slinging it around. So you're going to run the football. Travion Henderson, I hope you're right and everything, and does have a good game, because there's the other interesting thing with the numbers there is Ohio State comes in with a better rush defense than Michigan does. So ranked 11th in the country to Michigan, who's right around 31 in America.
We'll take a break and come back, because I want to talk a little bit about that too. What I think, how this game plays out, and we'll kind of discuss where we think it goes, because I think defensively for Ohio State, this defense has had its issues this year. There have been some problems, but I'll give you a couple reasons why I'm fairly confident about the Buckeye defense going into this game, too. We'll talk about that next. Plus, you know, plenty more discussion. All that coming up. We will get into NFL picks later on this hour. We've got Tool of the Week, 5 o'clock hour. All that and more coming up. Timmy Hall filling in. It's Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
On the north side, look out for a crash. Southbound 71 approaching 270. It's going to be onto the right shoulder, and it's causing slow traffic from Polaris Parkway. You also have a crash on U.S. Highway 62 at Fauncher Road in the Johnstown area. This report is sponsored by Meijer. It's Black Friday all week long at Meijer. Right now, you can buy one, get one for a dollar on shoes, boots, or slippers for the whole family. Keep everyone's feet warm and cozy while you take advantage of this Black Friday deal and many more, only at your neighborhood Meijer. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Oh, hello! I was talking to my annoying friend, Duchess Kumquat. She was retelling a very dramatic story about how her and Lord Beaverqueef were stuck sleeping in a very hot room because their janky air conditioning unit took a crapola. They were so hot and sweaty, it took them out of the mood for getting hot and sweaty. Don't be like Kumquat and Beaverqueef. Call my friends at Care Heating and Cooling. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company Beaverqueef can trust.
The radio home of inside jokes that may or may not become stickers for your car. This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Samuel in the backfield with Barrett, who feeds it to Samuel. Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points. Double overtime. Curtis Samuel sweeps around the left side for the touchdown run to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory.
Double overtime. Paul Keels, Jim Lachey, Buckeyes got it done over Meat Chicken, 30-27 in 2016. Timmy Hall filling in for Common Man today. It is Rivalry Week, sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. That was the spot is good game. The spot was good. The spot was good. How did Jim Harbaugh feel about that, Timmy?
Jim, and this is what's great, you know. I'm looking back at the comments from Crazy Jim after one. And when you've got a hold over your opponent like we have over them recently, and then you've got that team where it's your chance to do it, you're on the road, right? It's our chance to do this thing. And it's a matter of an inch or two that keeps it going for Ohio State. And you're like, oh, and his clipboard. I don't know if his clipboard even survived that game or if he broke it. It's back when it was khaki Jim. He just goes right to the press conference table, and it's just like, I'm taking the fines. I actually like that Jim. That's the Jim that cares so much about this rivalry that you're pissed off at officiating and you're going to let everybody know about it. I thought there were some outrageous calls, including the one that would have ended the game. I was bitterly disappointed.
Bitterly disappointed. That's right.
Bitterly disappointed. He put his hands up. By my angle, he was that short. He wasn't that short. I think it was a decent call on the spot there. I mean, he made it by an inch or two.
This is,
you don't overturn it on a review.
Preceding the Curtis Samuel run to the end zone, right? This is Paul Keel's calling the fourth down conversion.
Great.
That JT had.
What was it, fourth and one? I think so.
A long one.
Yeah. So listen, listen to how it played out in real time to just, again, remind everyone of how close it was.
So fourth and one. Buckeyes with the ball here in the second overtime of the Michigan 16. The Wolverines lead at 27-24. JT Barrett in a shotgun surrounded by both Mike Weber and Curtis Samuel. Tight end Alexander motioning to the right. Barrett gets the snap. Barrett keeps it himself, running straight ahead, and he's knocked down by Delano Hill at the 15-yard line. And if that is not enough, then that's going to end the ball game.
I think they're going to give him the line. If he needs to... First down.
Oh, wow.
Even Paul was like, oh wow. All right.
Yeah.
And you know, once they call it, then that's, you got to prove it's not that.
And they did review.
They did
review. It was a brief review.
Spot was good.
I think it was clean, man. And there were some pass interference possible calls that were there that Jim was just upset about a lot. They got a gift interference call. The ball was uncatchable. Past the receiver when our guy made contact.
Hey, man, this is what we always say about officiating. As much as the officiating is annoying, I've said this with Browns fans for years, and as a Browns fan, I have complained about officiating. Here's the reality. If you're waiting for the dummies wearing the stripes to bail you out and give you the win, that means it was too close.
Yeah, no, I'll take that as a Buckeye basketball fan, we talked about the Florida game. I'll take that. You're right.
It goes both ways. If Ohio State had not gotten the call there and the officials had said, that's it, that is fourth down, that's game over.
That's the difference.
That would also be Ohio State left it too close. The reality is when these games are close, you want the officials to get the right call, and they should. It's their job. But we can't be naive in thinking that if the game is close, that the officials are always going to make the exact right call. In that case, I think they did. But if you're mad about a call, it's probably because you know your team was too close.
Yeah, didn't they fumble going into their end zone in that very game?
I think
you're
right.
Is that the game where they had that?
I think you're right.
I mean, you can't do that.
No.
You can't do that and be a championship football team. You don't fumble inside the one. Like, there's red zone turnovers, and then there's that.
Yeah.
Right? Running the ball, keeping it on the ground, and then putting it on the deck inside the one. You can't do that. Win a game.
So let's talk about this game tomorrow. The game, of course, coverage starts 6:30 right here on the Fan. High noon in the Big House. I just saw Colin Berenger, our... You know, Evil Bald Colin, who is our producer,
he's the booth engineer
now for the Buckeye broadcast, just tweeted out a photo of the Big House. It's empty. Said, "Here we
let's
go."
Get that one. Let's get some action for Evil Bald Colin.
There you go. So, can the Ohio State defense stop Hassan Haskins and the Michigan rushing attack? I think if you look at what they've done over the course of this season, this Buckeye defense has gotten much better at stopping the run. And I think that as much as Michigan wants to run the football, Ohio State's going to sell out and dare Cade McNamara to beat him with his arm. And Timmy, I don't think he can. I think he's an okay to good quarterback. I don't think he's an elite, great, big-time quarterback like what you see in C.J. Stroud or what you've seen in a lot of Buckeye quarterbacks we've had over the years. I just don't think he is there. So I am expecting Ohio State to basically say, we're going to sell out to stop the run. Beat us over the top. Beat us with your receivers. Beat us with Cade McNamara. And I don't think Jim Harbaugh wants... I don't think he is hoping to do that. I don't think he wants to do that. I think he wants to establish the run and eat up clock. And the reality is they may get a couple drives like that, but I fully anticipate Ohio State will get their chances right after that. Michigan, I can see going on a six-minute drive, eating some clock, feeling good about themselves. Ohio State comes out, four plays, 52 yards, touchdown. And then you're right back like, oh, well, there we go. It's tied up again. Can Michigan respond in that way over and over again? I don't think so. I really don't think it's going to go that way tomorrow.
I think, and again, we looked at the numbers here in the last segment. Ohio State's rush defense, they have been so good this last half of the season that they are up to number 11 in the country. But again, you know, they didn't really have to stand the test of Kenneth Walker all that much. Would you agree with that? Michigan State only gave him the ball six times. He went for 24 yards. It's not like it was six carries for 2 yards and it was something gross where it was just a storm of Buckeye defenders in his face. They didn't even do it. Their play calling was so whacked out of its mind. It's just stunning to think about a $100 million extension for the guy who had that game plan going into the shoe. But that's neither here nor there. So I just pointing out that that was the best running back in the Big Ten, and Ohio State's offense was so good and got up so quick that it made Michigan State abandon its best asset.
Yeah.
So I do think because of the game pressure here and just because of the hype that these Michigan players are going to have inside them, I think they're going to be able to run the football enough to give McNamara the chance to go and make some plays. Like, I don't think this is going to be Ohio State holds Michigan to under 100 total yards of rushing.
No, I don't think that's something that can happen. Case.
I think they're going to get some, they're going to get a 20 yard carry a couple of times.
Oh, sure.
That's going to happen.
I would not be surprised.
This is a game that's going to go into the fourth quarter. I really think it's going to be a fourth quarter football game tomorrow.
It. See, I'm more on this. This is where I am. I think Ohio State, this will be a tough physical game like it always is. I think by the first half, I could see it being like 21-14 or 17-10, Ohio State leading at halftime. I feel like in the second half, it's going to be big Buckeye possession, touchdown, big stop by the defense, another touchdown, and then you're going to see that kind of go. And I could see, I think it could really be like 49-17, some in that range. That's where I'm headed. That's more where I am with this game. I do not think it's going to be that close.
Last thing quick. This is also a momentum game for me. Like, I don't think CJ Stroud is going to go blemish free. I think he's going to ultimately have the winning performance. If you were doing any kind of that over-under bet, like half, I would bet a turnover for CJ.
Yeah.
Just with the pressure he's going to face on the edge, not seeing that kind of pressure in his face for the last couple of games. I think one's going to happen for him, and hopefully it's not a crucial one and you can overcome it.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a very interesting game because you are, I think, going to see CJ Stroud out there for quite a bit of the game, Travion Henderson out there for quite a bit of the game. And we'll see what that looks like when those guys get to play four quarters, because we haven't seen a lot of that lately either. The most expensive matchup in college sports history is going to happen tomorrow as well. We'll discuss that next. It's Man and Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
We're continuing to look at a crash on southbound 71 as you approach 270 on the north side. It's going to be off onto the right shoulder. It's causing slow traffic from Polaris Parkway. You can expect delays as you head through there. This report is sponsored by Wendy's. Right now at Wendy's, see why everyone is raving about their brand new fries. Natural cut, skin on with a hint of sea salt, and guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or they'll replace them. You know, the way fries should be. Try Wendy's guaranteed hot and crispy fries today at participating U.S. Wendy's. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Their collective IQ is lower than they think it are. This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Gets the snap, hands it to Dobbins, running right side to the Michigan 25. Dobbins to the 20, to the 15, to the 10.
Number
and Dobbins
five.
Leaps for the end zone.
Yes.
Got it. Touchdown, J.K. Dobbins on a 33-yard run. He continues to make Michigan his personal plaything, and it is 55-27 Ohio State.
Oh,
what a call.
What a day. That was the last time, folks, that we heard Ohio State and Michigan square off. That was the last touchdown the Buckeyes scored in this rivalry because, of course, last year, no game.
Mm.
So almost 2 years in the making for this one to come back. Glad we're getting it back and looking forward to hearing Paul and Jim on the call right here on the Fan.
Jim was jumping the gun there. He was just dreaming up an extra touchdown for J.K. Dobbins, and can you blame him at that point?
Sure.
With the north of 200 yards rushing. I think he had a couple of catches for about 50 yards as well. He started that game off with a bounce pass to himself. He dribbled the football.
That's right, yeah.
It was one of the neatest plays I've ever seen. Obviously, he inadvertently dropped the ball, but he just dribbled it right back into his lap, and he turned that in for like a 35-yard gain. But, yeah, that was the touchdown where there's photos of it where he's just skying into the end zone.
Yeah.
He's on the right pylon there, and he just kind of leaps and flies in, and some of the still images. I tweeted one out from the Buckeye Show's account earlier this week, and it's just one of my favorite photos. You think of, you know, the iconic ones like Boren, you know, on top of, who's that, Devin Gardner?
I think, yeah.
On top of Devin Gardner.
That's one of those that...
That's a great one.
Yeah, there's just those moments in this rivalry matchup that you are never going to forget. Good and bad, right? There's a few of those we have on the other side, too. I will never be able to, never not be able to hear the name Tim Biakabatuka.
Tishomanga, right?
Right. Yeah, he was, man, that was a nightmare game for the Buckeyes. Been a long time since that has happened where you've seen something that egregious. Let's hope it's not going to happen tomorrow. But like I said, I'm feeling pretty confident about this thing. Timmy Hall, of course, filling in for Common Man today. Common Man and T-Bone brought to you by Hinderer Motorsports right here on The Fan. Let's talk about some money changing hands, because we knew that these things have happened, but tomorrow you're going to have Penn State and Michigan State squaring off their annual game they play at the end of the year. Rivalry game, it's what the Big Ten always schedules for these two. I'm sure they consider it somewhat of a rivalry, but not the same as what Sparty considers when they play team up north. That is obviously their main rival. But on the sidelines for that game, you're going to have newly minted $95 million man, Mel Tucker from Michigan State, signed a 10-year, $95 million contract. That has officially happened now. He is going up against, of course, James Franklin, who just signed a 10-year, $85 million contract to remain at Penn State. So a combined total for those two of $180 million sitting on the sidelines of a Big Ten football game, that is, it's a monster number to throw out there. That we're not far off from a fifth of $1 billion invested in two people, one at each school. That's an amount of money, Tim.
Neither of them are Ryan Day.
Right. Neither of them, I think, you would consider the best coach in the Big Ten. And even we were talking about this earlier, Kirk Ferentz sees these numbers and goes, all right, well, James Franklin's been a pretty good coach in this conference. Mel Tucker's been here for less than 2 years. I've been here for 20. Hey, where's my agent? What am I getting? You know, like, if I'm Kirk Ferentz, I'm saying, okay, that number's great. What do I get now? If I'm a coach in a lot of other conferences, too, I'm saying the Big Ten's paying that for their, like, third or fourth or fifth best coaches, then I should be getting this in my conference, which I feel is tougher.
James Franklin is a smart guy to parlay his way into this kind of contract at Penn State, because clearly, when you stack him up with the other coaches that we just mentioned, you throw Nick Saban out there, the best one that there has ever been. It's the reason, this is all because James Franklin's name was being floated around for some of the other high profile jobs. This is what it was going to take Penn State to keep him there, to lock him up. And not only do they lock him up, Boone, it is a ridiculously James Franklin heavy contract. It's a James Franklin friendly contract. That's the term I was looking for.
Yeah, right.
Where the buyout money, if they want to fire him because he's not getting the job done as much as they like, they basically can't. Or if
it's
those
fully
private
guaranteed.
Donors want to come up with that money to get rid of him, maybe they will, but I'm not so sure. He's good, not great in this division, this conference, because of who stands in his way. And you have to look at his overall records and, you know, wins, losses, give him some credit, right, for what he took over at Penn State and the scandal they were coming off of. They did have Bill Bryan in there, though, that kind of kept them floating, and he made it through some of that stuff and then handed that off to James Franklin when it was on the way back. He's 8-1 and wins the Big Ten, beats Ohio State in that third year, right? 2016. Yeah. Since then, he hasn't had a one-loss Big Ten season, so we're not talking about just losing to Ohio State. Nor should that be acceptable at Penn State.
No.
Like,
no.
Losing to Ohio State, oh, you beat him once in a decade, we'll be good with that. You're good with that? No, but he's not just losing the Ohio State game. He's losing multiple Big Ten games every single year.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really bizarre because also in these contracts, right, usually you think there'd be pretty big protection for the school the other way. If, all right, we're going to give you a bunch of money, but if you ever want to leave,
but
it's going to be prohibitive.
He only has to pay, what, $2 million?
Mel Tucker's
James,
contract.
I mean.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what James Franklin's about. It's not that much different, though. Mel Tucker's contract, fully guaranteed, his buyout to leave Michigan State, $2.5 million.
About the same.
And it decreases by $500,000 every year. Well, at least until it goes to zero, I guess.
So 3 years in, it's a $0 buyout for him to jump ship to a better job.
I don't understand how that works. Right. At some point, it's like, well, what? Then you pay him he gets more money to stay, like a loyalty bonus, I guess. Either way, my point is that is a really weird contract. And if college football is headed that way, I really don't know where the sport eventually reaches an equilibrium with this. Because if Michigan State's paying $95 million, what is Mississippi, what is Ole Miss doing, right? Like what is Oklahoma State doing? What are some of these schools, never mind the Pac-12, like are these schools now all going to also, along with, you know, the Virginia Techs and the Clemsons of the world, are they going to continue to say, all right, well now the Clemson job is paying Michigan State money. Well, Dabo can't have
right,
that.
Right, that can't happen.
You got to up
we're
that.
Better. Yeah.
Right.
And if you're worth more.
And if you're
you have
Virginia,
to value us more.
Virginia Tech's got to think, well, we're in the Michigan State category at least.
Yeah.
And so are the coaches who want that job.
Right.
So they're going to say, you want me to go there? You better pay me what Michigan State's paying. I just don't know if everyone's going to talk about how we can't have home site playoff games because some of the stadiums may not be winterized. If you can't, if that's too expensive,
yeah,
but we can give $95 million to the likes of Mel Tucker and James Franklin. And I'm just not sure how this can continue. Honestly, I don't know, but that's a problem for someone else to worry about. For us, we have to worry about NFL picks. It's that time. If you want to win a prize pack from Romeo's Pizza, 614-821-9710 is the phone number. You will compete against Timmy Hall and I. We'll make our picks together on the air. If you beat the both of us, you'll win a 4 medium one-topping pizzas from Romeo's Pizza.
Mm.
4 medium one-topping pizzas from Romeo's Pizza. NFL picks next, 614-821-9710. It's Man and Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
An earlier crash has cleared. It was on southbound 71 as you approach 270 on the north side. Traffic was moving slow through there. However, it's now flowing pretty nicely. And you can expect traffic to continue to be at a crawl around the shopping center, such as the Eastern Town Center and Polaris. So you can expect to not move through there quickly whatsoever. Well, this report is sponsored by Rumpke Waste and Recycling. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Ben from every dime a dog night in the Midwest.
Because he's fat.
Here's Man and Bone.
First and 10, Wolverines at their own 6. And in the end zone is Spate looking to throw. Fires it up the middle. Intercepted. It's picked off and running it down
Hooker.
The right side. And into the end zone is Malik Hooker. His third touchdown of the year. Malik Hooker, Ohio State's 7th pick 6 of the season. And the Buckeyes get the first touchdown of the game on defense.
There you go. 2016 Ohio State team up north. Buckeyes, that was the double overtime. 30-27 win in the shoe. More of that to come right here on The Fan, but don't worry. We got to get to NFL picks, so let's do it.
Common Man and T-Bone's NFL picks.
Sponsored by Chattanooga Whiskey. Now available at your favorite Columbus retail store. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly.
Our contestant this week is Michelle. If Michelle beats the both of us, get 4 medium one-topping pizzas from Romeo's Pizza. Michelle, are you ready to go?
I am.
All right. First up, Steelers taking on the Bengals in Cincinnati. That's a 1 p.m. game. I'm going to go with the Bengals at home.
You want me to go next?
Yeah, Timmy, go right ahead.
I hate to do this to my son. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Steelers?
All right. Tampa Bay at Indy. I am going to go with Tampa on the road.
Colts, Jonathan Taylor.
Oh.
He rides 212 yards rushing, two touchdowns.
All right.
And Tampa on the road.
Carolina at Miami. Hard to figure out this game, but I'm going to go Miami at home despite my better judgment. I'll take the Fins at home.
Good enough game for Tua. Cam Newton, one rushing, one passing. Carolina wins this one by three.
I'm going to say Carolina.
Titans taking on the Patriots in Foxborough. I'm going to go with New England at home.
Yeah, it's going to be Mac Jones or the Pats.
And the Patriots.
Philadelphia taking on the Giants. Hey, an NFC East matchup that's not at like Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. What do you know? It's a 1 p.m. game. I'll take the Eagles on the road.
This is going to be one of the few remaining Giants wins, maybe the last Giant win.
Wow. All right.
And the Eagles.
Atlanta taking on Jacksonville, otherwise known as Vomit, if you decide to watch this game. But I'm going to go, despite my better judgment, with the Falcons on the road.
It's going to be the Falcons.
And Atlanta.
The Jets taking on Houston in the other Vomit game of the weekend. I'm going to go with Houston at home.
Oh, uptick Texans, man. They're rolling in this game.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
Houston.
Chargers taking on Denver. That is a mile high up in the air from what I understand. I'm going to go with the Chargers on the road in the thin air.
Broncos at home.
Broncos.
Rams taking on Green Bay. I'm gonna go both LA teams winning on the road. I'll take the Rams in Green Bay.
Packers.
Packers.
Minnesota taking on San Francisco. I am going to go with the Vikings on the road.
49ers.
There we go. A lot of difference.
I'm just going opposite of Bone for the rest of the way now.
You probably should.
Minnesota.
Cleveland at Baltimore. Sunday Night Football. Ravens are getting this done. Yeah. I have no faith right now in this team.
Sorry.
Yeah, Ravens. You don't have to be sorry.
Yeah,
it's happening.
Yeah, Ravens.
Baltimore, yeah.
Monday Night Football, Seattle taking on Washington football team, Timmy Hall's team. I'm going to say Timmy Hall's guys get it done at home.
You know what? They're not going to wind up doing anything with this win, but Washington is going to win this game. You're right. They are winning. And I don't even like it.
And Michelle, you picked Washington too. Yeah. All right. Yep. Michelle, give me a number for the total points in that game.
37.
All right. And Timmy, what's your total for points?
43 points.
43. All right. If Michelle beats the both of us, she gets the wonderful goodness from Romeo's four medium one-topping pizzas from Romeo's Pizza. There you go.
It's a great gift.
Yeah. Any of those games sticking out to you? I mean, obviously, we know
not that locally, Monday night one.
No.
Not that one.
No, that's not great. Sunday Night Football, we know
that
Browns and Ravens is going to be a game that has a lot of eyeballs on it, as is, I think, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati is one of the interesting matchups this
Absolutely.
Weekend.
Absolutely.
Like
man.
All four of those games, or all two of those games, all four teams in that division going up against each other, that is going to change a lot depending on what happens there.
I honestly cannot wait for the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game. That is the one I'm circling, not just because of the state of Ohio and what that one means. You're looking at a team with the Bengals right now that is deciding, like, what is it going to be? What are they going to be?
Yeah.
And it's, if you are going to keep going in the right direction towards a potential playoff berth, you have to beat the Steelers twice. You're going to sweep the Steelers if you want to keep going in the right direction. And their run game was solid. Joe Burrow did not have a great game against Vegas. They did it with their defense. They created turnovers. They were great on that side, and they ran the football well. I still see that offensive line for Cincinnati just kind of going back and forth.
Yeah.
Some games they're pretty decent. They can protect Joe. Other games they look like they can only run block and nothing else.
I know. Yeah, we'll find out. That's going to be, though, a good matchup there. And then obviously I don't have a lot of faith in my Browns, but Sunday Night Football, you will have that as well. Of course, you'll hear that on The Fan as well, because we are the home of the Browns also. If you've missed anything from the first couple of hours, don't worry. We got you covered with the rundown. When we come back, it is Common Man and T-Bone, Timmy Hall, filling in on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
We're seeing slow traffic on southbound 71 between Polaris Parkway and 270, so you can expect delays as you head through there, heading back from Polaris maybe. This report is sponsored by Meijer. It's Black Friday all week long at Meijer. Right now, you can buy one, get one for a dollar on shoes, boots, or slippers for the whole family. Keep everyone's feet warm and cozy while you take advantage of this Black Friday deal and many more, only at your neighborhood Meijer. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Broadcasting live from the Tacoma Dome, here's Man and Bone.
First and 10 Wolverines at their own 38. Kwiatkowski, tight end, motioning on the right side of the formation. Gardner gets the snap, fakes the handoff, turns at his 30 to pass, looks, and he's hit and dropped by Zach Morin. He nailed him at the 29 and planted him like a cheap flower.
Oh, what a call by Paul Keels. 2012, Ohio State defeating team up north, Zach Morin, with a play that lives on and on and on in the offices of many an insurance salesman in Columbus and elsewhere. Because, man, it seems like anytime you go into any office that's a Buckeye-themed place, that photo of Zach standing over Devin Gardner and just kind of fist-pumping, and has lived on. It's one of those moments that will never go away from this rivalry, and thank goodness, because that was quite a play.
I don't even remember if he got a taunting penalty or a flag thrown for that. He had to have, right?
I don't remember either, honestly. You know what? Who cares?
All the replays,
you know what?
All the replays I find are clipped, like right when he does that. So, like, there's no like flag footage. Like, you can't see it happen. And I don't
totally worth it, man.
I don't really even want to go and look and see if that did happen.
That's for me. Now, I know not everybody likes this stuff, but that's what this rivalry is, man. You get that extra little bit, whether it's David Boston going at it, right? Like, I know those. That juice is what we like about this rivalry. Marcus Hall, the offensive lineman, got tossed from the game. All the Michigan
into the
players.
Tunnel.
Remember that? All the Michigan players just jumped our guy, and then Ohio State players came to defend, and then Ohio State players get tossed, and he's the one who got thrown out, and he double birds the fans. I like that stuff. That's what I want. I want it to be a physical, tough, intense rivalry. I like that.
To be fair, if you are going to do that and have that all-time photo moment like Boren got himself there, you've got to do that early in the game. You cannot let the game get long.
No, you're right.
And it's the fourth quarter, and it's a third and 12 sack.
Can't do it there.
And you risk picking up the flag that changes the tide of the game. First quarter, second quarter, 6 minutes, 11 seconds left. You're trailing 14-10. It was a first down sack anyway. Yes, green light. Go ahead. Get it done if you have to.
That's the other thing,
if you must.
The referees also need to be aware that they live on planet Earth occasionally. And when you're refereeing a tense rivalry game, don't referee it the same way as if Ohio State was doing this to Akron. You know what I mean? Like if you're at the Iron Bowl and a player from Bama stands over an Auburn player for a second longer than they should, don't throw the flag there. It's a rivalry game. Now, if you have the Ole Miss player who got down on all fours and did a dog, you know, going on a fire hydrant motion, that's different, right? Yep. I do get there's a line you can't cross. There's things you shouldn't do, but let's let some of this stuff go. It's a rivalry game. I hope that that's the way it goes tomorrow with, you know, whatever goes on there. I hope these referees understand there's going to be some pushing and shoving in some intense moments, and that's what we like.
We were breaking down that situation you just mentioned with Marcus Hall. I want to say that was, again, the 2013 game, the same game that Tyvis Powell sealed it off with the interception.
I believe you're right.
2-point conversion.
Yeah.
That was in the first or second quarter.
It was early.
On a kick return. And what was crazy is Dontre Wilson gets tackled and they're giving him the business in the pile. Like
they're not letting him.
What do you want him to do? And all of a sudden there's eight Michigan players surrounding him.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow when it's all said and done, two Ohio State players get ejected. Only one Michigan player gets ejected.
It was ridiculous.
It was an equal fight on both sides. And I know they've got the rule about you can't leave the bench area and all that, but how that one wasn't equal with...
Yeah,
at least, not equal with what
the Michigan players should have gotten something for instigating because they all surrounded him.
Yes, they started it. There wouldn't have been a situation if they didn't circle around like a bunch of hawks.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Wilson, if you think the referee from that game was a tool, he could be someone you nominate for Tool of the Week, which we are doing 534. Another chance to win prizes. Tweet at us at manandbone971. You get the tweet in. That counts for Tool of the Week. We will read those at 534. We did not talk at all. Maybe we should be Tools of the Week. We didn't even talk about the Thanksgiving Day football cornucopia we had yesterday. Three NFL games, well, in name only, because one of them was Bears-Lions. Right. I don't know if that counts right. as an NFL game. But
it's great to see Andy Dalton getting to hoist a trophy, though, after a football game. I think Bears fans, it warmed their hearts.
Did you see Matt Nagy after that game? I mean, he's fist pumping. He like threw his headset and like it's like, dude, you're 4-7.
You're on the way out, man.
Well, you should be on your way out. You're going out at the end of the year, quite sure. But like, does he really think this saved his job? Does this you beat a winless football team that everyone expected you to win in a game that was closer than it should have been with your backup quarterback? Is this vindication for you saying, yeah, Andy Dalton should have been quarterback one. I was right. No, you're not. You're stupid. And Justin Fields would have had a good day, too, if he wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
I have no, but, you know. Or at least he should have. If he's playing the Lions, everyone should have a good day.
I'll play Bones advocate for 1 second because I hate Matt Nagy, too. But like you said about the referees, could Matt just be acting human there and he was excited to get a win?
I guess.
Because they've been so bad.
I guess.
Just winning a football game and It's nothing special when you're a professional and you beat 0-9.
Well, no, Detroit. But maybe he's living on the planet Earth where the Lions are terrible. And he goes, well, this is good that we won, but the Lions are awful.
Honestly, though, with that game, it's more looking at Detroit. And usually when you're the bad team and, you know, there's not a whole lot of expectations there. But Dan Campbell is coaching so poorly. Even being the bad team, when you take over, you lose Matt Stafford. You're left with Jared Goff. But what is going through this guy's mind half the times?
It's
you not picking up on this too?
Like it's an amazing thing.
Like I'm watching a lot of Lions football, but every time I do, there are like five massive bungles.
Yeah.
What's happening with him?
Well, what's happening is you got a guy who's not really qualified to be an NFL head coach.
The double timeout? Yeah. They're not aggressive. They didn't even try to win the Browns game.
No.
We go back to that. You are 4th-and-1 in the go zone. And you're in that situation anyway, when they were down, 6 to Cleveland?
Yeah.
You would just go for it. And if you're thinking, our defense can get a stop, well then, okay. So if you miss the 4th-and-1, then you're thinking, I can still score a touchdown and win by 1. Why would you just settle for that field goal there? And they repeat it again in the Bears game. They're just not aggressive. They're calling like run plays on 2nd-and-12, right up the gut to give them 3rd-and-longer. They're not aggressive in going for touchdowns, settling for field goals. He sucks.
Yeah, he's bad. He's a terrible coach. And yeah, this may be a one and done for the Lions there. Bills decimated the Saints last night. The Saints have no plan at quarterback, and it shows. I don't know what they're thinking there, but
how is Trevor Siemian starting?
Because they don't have anybody else. They gave Taysom Hill a bunch of money, but I can't remember. Is he not healthy or just not good right now? I don't remember. But either way, there's no way that he is actually going to be a starting quarterback. That weird contract they gave him.
Taysom Hill's hurt. There had to be no way that Taysom Hill could get in there and play that game, right?
I would think so.
But I'm with you. It does, being on the outside looking in on all things Saints, it does feel like they are reluctant to let him have that. That's why, you know, the way that this contract was built, that's what he wants to be. But the contract takes, you know, it's one of the most oddball contracts we've seen, right? For a football player to have those special verbiage in there for if he becomes the quarterback. But yeah, ugly, and that was a get-right game for the Buffalo Bills because they needed it. All these perceived great teams in the league, every time one, you know, jumped out, they get brought right back down to earth. Maybe it's correcting itself, and the Chiefs will wind up being the best team in the end
with
the best quarterback. But, yeah, Dallas losing, Buffalo easily walking into New Orleans and winning.
Teddy had a nice thought when he walked in today. What was your thought on the Cowboys-Raiders? You had two of them, if I remember.
I had two ideas. The refs were terrible in that game. And also, this just in, you guys are not the show, okay, refs, so sit down. And then number two, my Cowboys, they're terrible as well. So both those things are
Ted
true.
Ted is out on his Cowboys.
They are the Browns of the NFC.
I can't, hey, man. I wish we were, that'd be fine. I'd like to have their record at least. I would take 7-4. But I get what you're saying. Right now for the Cowboys, it is not going well. And
Eagles are coming.
Yeah, so, Tim says they're going to lose this weekend.
Ted to the
is
Giants.
Convinced the Eagles are coming for his Cowboys,
yes.
And I don't blame you totally for that, for being down on your team. But
yeah, I've always said this, like being a Washington football team fan, and most people would think I'm nuts, but I've had more hatred for the Philadelphia Eagles for a long time. They actually passed the Dallas Cowboys for me.
Wow,
at some point there.
It's interesting.
Some point along the way, it became the Eagles were the true like hated team, the nemesis, but. Your team sucks too. Like Dallas, they are terrible as well.
Now they're banged up, so I give them that. They get a lot of guys back here in the next couple weeks.
I'm not giving you that.
But they're just 3 out of 4 weeks now.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You found your golden arm QB in the fourth or fifth round. That's a godsend. You got all the money in the world. You got Jerry World. You got the cheerleaders. You got everything going for you, and you can't even sniff a playoff win like for the last 20 years. It's embarrassing.
Let's do this. Let's hit the rundown.
Common Man and T-Bones, the rundown.
The rundown.
Sponsored by Krieger Ford. Visit them online at KriegerFord.com. Home of the Krieger Commitment. Best cars, best people, peace of mind.
Here's the rundown for me. There's a game tomorrow at high noon. Coverage starts 6:30 right here on the Fan. Ohio State in the state up north to take on the dreaded Meat Chicken, who can't seem to get out of their own way. Here's what I think is happening tomorrow. Buckeyes get another victory to even up the series. Again, they're getting closer to getting back to equilibrium. I don't believe in Cade McNamara. I don't think he can beat you by himself. They have to run the football. I think Ohio State's defense will sell out to stop the run as much as you sell out in modern college football defense schematics. I think they sell out to stop the run.
A 10-man box.
Yeah, right. I think they are going to dare Michigan to throw it to beat them. And I don't think that offense can keep up with what Ohio State's about to do to Michigan's defense. I say 49-17, Travion Henderson, 200 yards rushing against this Michigan defense. Try and stop it. That's where I'm going. What say you, Timmy?
T-Bone, I'm going with the Buckeye win. I want to just be upfront and clear about that. I'm going with the Ohio State win. The nerves are running a little hot with me, though. I think that Michigan's going to be able to run the football adequately. We're not going to be able to just stuff it like you would want to and really flex and dominate going on to the Big Ten championship game. I think it's a four-quarter game that's brewing. If you look at Cade McNamara, they're going to try to keep him on schedule, keep him clean enough so he can be put in positions where he can succeed, where he hasn't turned the football over a whole lot. I don't think he has won since the Michigan State game, but all in all, Ohio State's offense is going to be balanced enough. They're going to be able to poke holes in Michigan's top 12 defense, whatever it is, with their national ranking. And they're going to get this thing done 35-28 in Ann Arbor.
A little bit closer.
A little bit closer, but it's all going to be fine. It's a top 5 battle between the Buckeyes and the Wolverines.
Yeah, and I am ready to watch Ohio State make it not a top 5 battle after about, we'll say a little bit more through the third quarter, then they start pulling away. That's where I think it's going to happen. But there you go. All the coverage is tomorrow, 6:30. You know where it is. Home of your Buckeyes right here on the Fan.
The Rundown. The Rundown.
Okay, we'll come back. Something that we do every single year for Ohio State, Michigan, it is the Ballad of Ann Arbor. If you've never heard this, it is a very dumb thing we produced about a million years ago.
Is this Paul?
Dead Paul Harvey, dead Paul Harvey, telling you the history of Ann Arbor. And we'll also talk about a college football coach that never punts. It's his first year trying that out at the college level. We'll let you know how all that went. Coming up next, it's Man and Bo and Timmy Hall filling in on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
On the north side, look out for a crash on the ramp from eastbound 270 to southbound 71. You also have a crash reported near the airport on westbound 670 after 270. This report is sponsored by Staples Stores. Staples Connect is celebrating Black Friday all week long with big savings on the hottest holiday tech. Right now, Apple AirPods Pro are just $179. Explore more deals at StaplesConnect.com/Black Friday. Ends 11/27. Limit 2. While supplies last, Staples Connect, the working and learning store. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Just a couple of guys touching rim and sucking on breath mints. This is Man and Bone.
Gets the snap. Looks to throw. Looking left, running left. Still holding the ball as if to throw. Cranks and fires toward the end zone. Wilson for a touchdown. Garrett Wilson, the Buckeye freshman receiver, underneath a pass from Justin Fields. Just back in off of injury. A 30-yard touchdown pass. And Ohio State is up their lead to 41-16 over Michigan.
Big play, big call there from Paul Keels and Jim Lachey. That was Justin Fields coming in. We remember that moment where we thought, is Justin Fields, you know, he's good, but how good is he going to be? And then 2019, up in Ann Arbor, last time this game was played, he gets knocked out of the game, and we thought, uh-oh, this could be bad.
Yeah, that was the warrior right there.
Came right back in a couple plays later and made that throw where he's on the run. It looked like he busted up his knee. I had no hope when he got knocked out of the game. I was very concerned. And then all those hopes, they were fine. I was good after he made that throw. That kind of told us what the next year was going to be like, and we saw some of the specialness that he had last year, too. So
we saw it again when he would take that crucial hit from Skalski in the Clemson game.
That's right. Absolutely.
And you speak about that throw he made against Michigan. It was the first play, you said, right? Coming right back onto the field.
Was, yeah.
I think it was the first play back in from, you know, taking a few off for an injury. And even before that, it was the Penn State game the week prior where I believe he got knocked around a little bit.
Yep.
And he had a banged up knee going into the contest to begin with. So for him to do that, for him to throw for over 300 yards, and then we mentioned, you know, earlier clip, you heard J.K. Dobbins and what he was up to in that game, leaving his mark. But both of your guys there, Fields and J.K., with four touchdowns, and then Garrett Wilson just saying, hello, like, look, look what I'm going to be. And we knew that about him, too. Like, we knew what we had with Justin Fields. He had been proving it all year long. But then you get to those last couple games against Penn State, against Michigan. You've got to do it against those opponents, or what is it all for? He did. And then Garrett Wilson, almost like Chris Olave years before,
Just
showing what he was going to be
one year before, not years before.
Yeah, in the 2018 game.
Yeah, that's where you find out who you've got. So I'm looking forward to seeing who tomorrow will emerge, who's a young player, who's had some good moments, who now gets to have those Michigan moments. We're looking forward to it. By the way, Tool of the Week coming up, 534. Tweet us, last chance to do it, at manandbone971. Tell us who your biggest tool was of the week. You might just win the prize. Okay, we do this every year. Our friend, dead fake Paul Harvey, or fake dead Paul Harvey, I forget which way it goes. He has a bit of history for you on how the city came to be known as Ann Arbor. So here we go. It's the rest of the story from Paul Harvey. Take it away.
Good day, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. Now, the rest of the story. Many years ago, college football stadiums played host to an odd guest. A well-endowed female football fan who became famous for wearing a dark blue dress to as many home games as she could possibly attend. The enthusiastic supporter of the gridiron was also a practitioner of the world's oldest profession. She was a temptress, a woman of the night. In fact, this harlot was so enamored with college football and also so skilled at her craft that she lured every college football player on her favorite team into her bedroom on the first weekend of the season. Eventually, she'd been known in the biblical sense by every football player in all of college football. She was so successful in her endeavors that the various university presidents decided to intervene after an outbreak of sexually transmitted diseases caused the cancellation of several football games. Multiple teams fielded lineups with only 10 men, sometimes fewer, playing both sides of the ball for the entire game. Soon this floozy was banned from every college campus and eventually every city and state where there was a college campus. In fact, the only place this disease-riddled man sponge could find to ply her trade was in a northern territory off the shores of Lake Michigan, a place previously only utilized as a landfill to dump the nation's garbage. The now infamous prostitute lost nearly all of her clients as few players dared to traverse into the dump heap to seek her out. As a matter of fact, the only people who would come to see her at all were typically the most desperate of men, pathetic and devoid of the pride that makes a man a man. Desperate to fulfill their carnal desires, these shameful creatures became unlovable to the rest of the world because they, like the football mad floozy, had cold, dark hearts and filthier souls. What's more, once these despicable souls had debased themselves, they were not able or willing to leave, feeling both trapped by and at home with the waste that surrounded them. Soon, there was an overabundance of degenerates colonizing in and around the dump heap. And so it was that a town sprang up around the garbage, and that little-known town was named after the streetwalker. Anne was her first name, and her last name was Arbor. Even though the piles of garbage have since been replaced by a school, the odor of fetid waste remains, as does the weakness that lured many a man into Ann Arbor's nether regions. And that, my friends, is why the University of Michigan is a school built on trash, and why fans today still proclaim that Ann Arbor is a whore. And now you know the rest of the story. I'm Paul Harvey. Good day.
You might say to yourself, you should really update that. And the answer is we should, but we're lazy and stupid. So
like
there
the,
you go.
I like Paul at the end. Good day.
Well, there you go. It's we get a request for it every year, so now you've heard it. It exists. Let it live. Arkansas high school legend Kevin Kelly. Are you familiar with this guy?
He's that high school football coach that
never
just playing
never
Madden
punt.
In
never,
real life.
Never punt.
Like well, a 12-year-old.
Yeah, he took over at FCS Presbyterian this year.
Presbyterian.
First season there at the college rank. Started off okay. Won his first two games 84-43 and 68-3. Then proceeded to lose every game by at least like three touchdowns.
Mm.
Gave up over 50 points in all but one of the following contests. I don't know. Maybe never punting is not the best strategy. Maybe once you get out of high school, maybe it's a little more complex than that.
Where's that school?
South Carolina. Yep.
Presbyterian.
Yeah.
What's their nickname there?
They are the, I want to say the, oh God, it's like the Blue
Hose.
Blue Hose. That's it. The Blue Hose.
So that's where Ann Arbor was before they... It went up north to settle a new town.
Our guy Spencer, who listens to the show, sent us that update, and I had to make sure everybody knew. That's
Ann Arbor's gang was called the Blue Hose.
The Blue Hose.
When they were walking the streets at night, oh, there come the Blue Hose.
That's that. Presbyterian may need to rethink that name. That might be it. All right, it's Tool of the Week time. Your tweets, at ManandBone971. The winner receives a $50 gift card to Conrad's, the Buckeye State Store located at Easton Gateway, or ConradsOSU.com. That is coming up next. Tool of the Week, Man and Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
Look out for a crash on 161 at Riverside Drive. An earlier crash has cleared on the north side from the ramp from 270 eastbound to southbound 71. This report is sponsored by Dunkin'. The holidays are here, and luckily, Dunkin' is here to help you sip through every part of them with a peppermint mocha signature latte or a toasted white chocolate signature latte. American runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Common Man and T-Bone present Toll of the Week.
Sponsored by the Lion's Den.
Our winner today on Tool of the Week is going to get a $50 gift card to Conrad's, the Buckeye State Store, located at Easton Gateway, or conradsosu.com. Timmy Hall in for Common Man. You ready to go?
I'm ready, man. I love Tool of the Week.
It's one of,
I've been nominated several times before.
Maybe this time
I love it.
We'll start off with Rob, who's very simple with this one and right to the point. The whole state of Michigan, hashtag go Bucks. Yep, nothing wrong with that. Totally agreed. Tyler says, my guys. My tool of the week was whoever was in charge of that scoreboard for the OSU Florida basketball game. That thing was atrocious and having so many issues. You're right, Tyler. It was bad.
Yes.
Multiple times they had to go over and try to fix it. And I just, and like, stop, wait, hold on. This is wrong. Reset. Like, they.
I wonder if it was the scoreboard at the event or if it was just FS1, because whatever the event scoreboard is, I don't really know how that works. If a TV crew guy is on his own or if there's some connection between the board and the arena.
I would tend to think
and what the TV thing. Because the graphic is whatever you choose. And by the way, the graphic that Fox Sports 1 has switched to is horrendous.
Yeah, I'm not
a fan. It's gigantic.
I know. I don't know why it needs to be that big. Anyway, phrases we've never heard before. Vinny says, my guys.
Chubby time!
Tool of the week are all the cat fancy ladies out at the store today with zero spatial awareness. I shouldn't have to zigzag through the store because you decided to leave your cart in the middle of the aisle. Hashtag go to hell.
Oh, little things in life that do piss me off as well. I hate it when people are walking slow and wide.
In the
middle.
It
might be like a group of like two or three or a family, and you're like slowly walking and taking up 80% of the path.
Right.
Get to a side and be slow.
I'm a big guy. I don't like to be in the way. So I'm always conscious if we're in like a supermarket aisle and I've got my cart, I'm always trying to get to the side, not stand in front of something that someone's looking at.
Oh, for sure.
These people just go right down the middle of the aisle and just sit there like, do I need yams? Where are the yams?
Oh,
it's like
you're
just in the middle of everything.
I leave the cart. I will look for opportunities to stash the cart like on the outside of the aisle.
Good call,
behind like one of the cases that doesn't have a lot of traffic. I'll zip into the aisle.
Grab
that way
your
I can
things.
Weave in and out of all the people like we're talking about.
Yeah.
Grab my thing, zip back, then get the cart.
Yeah. That's a good call
by
you.
I try to do that.
John says, my guys. My tool of the week is Booger McFarland. My wife and I were watching the pregame before the Oregon game last Saturday. He's too biased to be an analyst on TV. My wife told me, turn this off. My brain is getting dumber listening to these guys.
I've never heard any complaints about Booger.
Thank you, John. I could see. He's a
I've heard them.
Yeah. He's a little biased.
He's not good. Not good.
Zach said, my guys.
Oh, no.
Tool of the week is my buddy who I hadn't seen in a while. He turns on some Michigan hype videos. Gross. Yeah, that's
what happened there. Is he a Michigan grad?
Well, maybe he just knows maybe he knew he's an Ohio State fan and said, well, I'm going to screw with this guy. Could be that.
Yeah, I guess it could. That wouldn't be. What would you do if that were the case? A non-Michigan guy knows you're going into the big game, and he's just trying to screw with you, just to be a jerk.
Yeah, I don't know.
Be done with that friend, or it's like, Jimmy's going to be Jimmy.
All right, that's funny. Maybe the first time's like,
You did that. You've done that the last 5 years. We've gotten together before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I guess.
Sherry says, it was hard to decide which tool to root against in the Ole Miss versus Mississippi State game, the Egg Bowl. Lane Kiffin or Mike Leach, how are these guys still coaching, in quotes? Good call, Sherry. And I don't know the answer there. Let's see what else. Chris says, my guys.
Could use a little love right now. There they are working those balls.
Scott Frost is my tool of the week. How are you up 21-6 and blow that lead to lose yet again? Not sure that they are the best 3-9 team. I think it's the coaching mentality and lack of adjustments. Hashtag tool.
Let's get that guy on a mega contract extension.
We don't want him to leave.
He's got another year coming back.
Yeah, you gotta get him back, right? I mean,
gonna prove it. Gonna prove it next year.
Best 3-19. You know, when you keep losing one possession games, maybe that shows just what's wrong.
Believe me, that's the problem.
Especially,
trust me, I'm with you.
One possession game where you had the lead by two touchdowns.
Something great. Oh, but Mr. Athletic Director, Mr. Alberts, look at all the one possession games. Yes, you've lost all of them.
Yeah. Goalie Tom says, my tool of the week is my son's. I told them to bring containers to take home leftovers from Thanksgiving dinner.
They brought grocery bags.
They brought unwashed Tupperware. I ended up sending them home with mine. Hashtag tools. Gross. You bring unwashed? Why? Ugh. Like, wouldn't you pick that up and be like, oh, I can't take this. Just Let me clean it out real quick.
Make the boys wash them. Right?
Let the boy wash his Tupperware. He's a good, clean boy.
Let the boys wash.
Let the boys wash.
Ashley Schaefer. Anybody that has watched Deep Track Will Ferrell gets that joke.
The Tupperware was full of plums, my friend. Full of plums.
From the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cameron says, the makers of Play-Doh are my tools of the week. Just spent more money so my kids can cry that the plastic toys don't work once the dough gets stuck and dries, because the dough that doesn't turns to a lovely poo hue.
Poo hue?
Poo hue? That can't be separated. I know what he's talking about. Once you mix the colors and all of a sudden it's just all kind of one mishmash. Gross. He's
that
right.
Is nasty. I don't let my child mix the colors of Play-Doh.
You don't let him.
I'm weird like that. No.
You keep it all.
The colors go in their proper container. I'm that guy.
You keep all the Play-Doh.
The yellow goes back in the yellow.
I see. You just stand there and like that's all you're watching for? I'm going to mix a few things together?
No.
What if he makes something with like yellow and red and blue in it, and then you make him take the pieces apart and put them back into a ball?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't mix them up.
Okay.
Because it's going to turn out like this guy just said. Proves that I'm right.
Let's go ahead and pick a winner, Timmy. What do you think there? Was there someone that jumped out to you?
I am going to do what you always do and say that I don't have them in front of me, and I forgot.
That's okay. You know which one kind of grossed me out, I'm not going to lie, is the goalie Tom, who said that his sons brought the used Tupperware.
Used Tupperware, yeah.
I think that's gross, and I'm going to go with that one as my tool of the week.
Bah! Bah!
Sorry, I already played that one.
That's...
Or this one.
Oh, my!
Anyway.
was that Eli Gold?
I think so.
The last one?
I don't know if that was Eli Gold. It's something. Anyway.
That's the Florida.
Oh, the Florida announcer. That's
Florida,
right.
Florida, which is who?
Gene. No, that's
Florida State. Gene Deckerhoff. No, Florida State.
Yeah.
Gene Steratore.
Referee extraordinaire.
Analyst guy now.
That's right. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. Winner,
oh, my.
Tom is getting a $50 gift card to Conrad's, the Buckeye State store located at Easton Gateway, or conradsosu.com. Back page is coming up next. It's Man and Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
Currently looking at a crash on 161 at Riverside Drive. We're also seeing heavy traffic in the areas of Easton Town Center and Polaris, of course, with Black Friday shopping going on. So if you're going to be taking a part of that, definitely drive carefully around the retail areas. This report is sponsored by AutoZone. Get in the zone. Starting stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit in your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. Can I tell you a secret? One of my joys in life
is a good clean out. Once in a blue moon, I will take it to the next level. I have an air vent right over the toilet. So when I know a wild ride is coming, I'll turn down the AC a few minutes before it's go time. And then when I sit down, beautiful cold air greets me, blowing in my face as I do the deed. And the only people I trust to keep my crapper temp in tip-top shape, that's Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Two receivers wide right. Bellamy and Butler, Askew on the backfield. And Navarre on the final play of the game to throw from the 32. Throws into the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted at the 5-yard line! And the Buckeyes are headed to the desert as Ohio State gets an interception on the final play of the game to beat Michigan. 14-9. Couldn't even begin to see who picked it off.
Will Allen
with his second of the year. And the Buckeyes finish the year unbeaten and are headed to the national championship with their second turnover of the game.
What a great moment that was. 2002, of course, barely needs introduction. Ohio State knocking off Meat Chicken in the Shoe, 14-9, stamping their ticket to the desert to go to the Fiesta Bowl, where they ultimately won the national championship. Timmy Hall filling in for Common Man today. One segment left until I'm out of here. You've got the Buckeye Show.
Must be nice. I got to do two more segments, and we did not do like any extra exclusive segments on top of the two that we're about to do for the Buckeye Show tonight.
Yeah, you got two.
Just wasn't any time.
You got a half-hour Buckeye Show tonight. Then it is Jackets time, 6:30. Coverage starts right here on The Fan, and you will get to hear the Jackets taking on Vancouver.
Yeah,
the Canucks. Out of Nationwide. Let's go. Come in with like a four-game losing streak.
Yeah,
so.
They only have 14 points. Jackets sitting with 22 right now, feeling good about that 3-0 win.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
That was very nice. By the way, that play call there, Will Allen getting that interception.
Yep, second Will to come up with a big turnover in the final 2 minutes of that game.
It's amazing to think that was 19 years ago, just a few days past now, 19 years ago, that occurred. This though, just to give you an example of how different things are, and I'm not saying tomorrow is going to be a cakewalk or anything like that. It's going to be the game. It's always going to be tough, physical, all that stuff. But the ESPN write-up for that game, this is actually the AP write-up.
The
official story.
The AP recap.
This is how they started off their article 19 years ago when that 14-9 victory happened for Ohio State. It said, go ahead, Ohio State. It's safe to exhale. The Buckeyes, College Football's High Wire Act, escaped yet another tight jam Saturday with a 14-9 victory over rival Michigan. Jim Tressel moved his record to 2-0 against Michigan, which it's just at the time to hear 2-0 against Michigan.
And that's a big deal.
That made you feel like that's not a fluke. That's a thing that's going to happen more. And it was such a monumental victory, and it's propelled this program quite a ways.
I think I saw Andrew Lynn tweet this out last night when it flipped over from Thanksgiving to Friday morning here. We hit the 10-year mark since Michigan's last win.
Wow, 2011, right? The fickle year.
We didn't have the game last year, so it officially turned into a decade of Ohio State victories.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, right? That it's been that long.
That's just nutty.
You used to have the 10-year war, right? Going back to
Bo
and Woody.
What is this?
This is the
decade of dominance.
The 10-year annihilation? I don't know, but it is something that is truly spectacular as a Buckeye fan, so I'm excited for tomorrow. I know you are too. I know all of Buckeye Nation is. 6:30 a.m. All the coverage starts right here on The Fan. Kickoff at noon. Paul Keels, Jim Lachey, Matt Andrews will have you covered from the field as we find out what happens up in Ann Arbor. Back page. Let's do it.
The Back Page. The Back Page with Common Man and T-Bone.
Sponsored by Care Heating and Cooling. When you need a company you can trust, call 1-800-COOLING.
Take it away, Timmy.
Bone, I got to fill the people in on some college basketball here first. I know we stray from sports in this segment, but did anybody catch the end of the Dayton-Kansas game?
Oh, we had
this
it on
afternoon?
In here.
ESPN Events Invitational. And mind you, if you are unfamiliar with what Dayton has been up to this season, I almost didn't believe it when the third one of these popped up. As I checked their team page, I didn't catch any of these games, but they beat a crappy UIC team to start by 10. Whatever, you're getting your sea legs. Then they lost to UMass Lowell. I remember they played the Buckeyes tough 3 years ago at the Shot.
Yeah, that's right.
Ohio State wound up winning by 16 or 17. It was fine. Then Dayton lost to Lipscomb after that. So
Pride of Nashville.
Two straight ouchies. That's right.
Yeah.
Lipscomb from Nashville, Tennessee. Then they lost to Austin Peay. Where are they? Alabama or something?
Losing to a bunch of 16 seeds this early in the season.
Even 16 seeds.
Right. Just, well, I'm saying that if they get to the tournament, they're 16 seeds. Gross. That's how it usually works.
Then they just beat up on Jim Larrañaga's Miami squad, the U, 76-60. And today, a buzzer beater, last second, you beat Kansas 74-73. You coughed up a lead late. Mustafa Amzol, he drove the lane off an offensive rebound, right? How high? It was like a little to his left fadeaway from the left elbow. It went so high up in the air.
40 feet in the air.
Bounced off the rim, hit the backboard, came back down. David McCormick might have hit the net as well as it was up there, but Dayton wins 74-73.
That was their first upset of a top five team since the mid-80s, I want to say, 1984 or something like that.
That's crazy. They themselves were a top five team that last year with Obi when the when the tournament was canceled. You didn't get to see him in their one seed season. It was brutal.
That is something I know still bites UD fans to not know what that team could have done. And we'll never find out, but... yeah, it's too bad.
So, do you know where the term Black Friday came from?
I don't know.
From the New York Times, and people have been like tracing its roots and everything, and they wound up in Philadelphia in the late 1960s because just terrible things come from Philadelphia outside of cheesesteaks. Tourists would descend on the city between Thanksgiving and the annual Army-Navy game. And historians say that the Philly police took to calling the day Black Friday because officers had to work the long dreaded hours, bad traffic, worse weather, crowd-related miseries. And stores at first didn't want to take to that because the word black was put in front of miserable days in history, like the Black Monday when the stock market crashed.
Sure, yeah.
And they tried to rebrand it along the way to Big Friday, but
that didn't work.
Unsuccessful.
Out.
And they later reclaimed that Black Friday, saying the day was when stores' books went from red ink to black.
So they tried to retcon it
a little bit.
It back. I see. Gotcha. All right. Well, Timmy, thanks for doing this. Can't wait. Tomorrow, the game, all the coverage right here on The Fan. We will talk again on Monday. Timmy's going to stick with you to do the Buckeye Show next. And see you next week. It's Man and Bone on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Traffic Center.
On the east side, as you approach US 33 northbound 270, the right lane is blocked due to a crash, and you have a crash on 161 at Riverside Drive. This report is sponsored by Shoot Point Blank. Shoot Point Blank has exclusive holiday deals like boxes of ammo, buy two, get one free, and up to $100 off firearms. But you need to visit shootpointblank.com/holiday before December 31st to take advantage. That's shootpointblank.com/holiday. I'm Chris Harden for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
The Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus, The Fan.
Hey, Common Man here. I know what you're thinking. This guy again? But we have some special bonus stuff for you. Sponsored, of course, by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.
This is Man and Bone.
This happens with every weather person ever. Regardless of market, television station, for some reason they all have to tell us to open the windows. I don't want to open my windows. I want artificial air blowing in my face. Stop telling me to open the damn windows.
Again, I think we've maybe brought this to attention before, but, you know, I would just say in the weather person's defense, this is like someone posting. Ricky Gervais has this bit where he says the internet now has become someone posts guitar lessons, like those little tabs that you see where you can pull off a tab and call a phone number and learn about guitar lessons. They do them at like college campuses or wherever. And then someone comes up and screams, why are you telling me about guitar lessons? I don't want to know. It's like, well, then this wasn't for you. Just move along. I think maybe you're getting a little too worked up by the weather people. That's all. No. Like, they're just telling you to open the windows.
Here's what I'm doing.
The few people that doesn't like to do that.
Hey, pitch a tent, sleep outside. It's wonderful weather. Do it. Dine al fresco, because I said so.
I think
it's nice. I want you to dine outside.
I just think it's a friendly
We need a friendly reminder to open the windows?
Well, yeah, it's been so sweltering hot. Maybe just say, hey, letting you know. No, saying like, hey, it's been so hot out. I'll tell you, I think the weather's going to be nice enough. They also do this with like lawn mowing or gardening
I can't stand that either.
Where they say like, hey, tomorrow might be a good day. If you're looking for a day to mow the lawn, tomorrow's a good day. The weather should be good for that. That's why people are listening to the weather. Right. What are you doing outside that you want to know? What's your
What am I doing? Nothing. Going outside and flipping all you people off.
I'm gonna
go around all the houses in the neighborhood with the windows open tonight and just whisper,
I
hate you.
Why does this bother you?
I hate you.
I know your answer is, have you met me? I know that, but I'm saying specifically.
Do you really want to go down that wormhole? All right. Do you understand that why does this bother you pays for my salary and indirectly yours too?
I got it.
Do you know that?
I'm just saying, it's the weather. They're just saying, open the windows if you want to. If you don't, ignore this.
A special thank you for consuming all the stupidity we can safely shove down your gullet. Come back for more podcasts. And again, the podcast is sponsored by our friends, because they pay us. Care, Heating, and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust. Stop listening now. The podcast is over. Turn it off. Go do something.